Atlas Butler has convenient 2-hour service windows for heating, cooling, and plumbing service. Because nobody likes waiting around. You listening, BMB? Nobody likes waiting around.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
This. Good morning, I'm Eric Reeser. For the second year in a row, the Blue Jackets will have the 14th overall pick in the NHL draft. The league held the draft lottery last night. Jackets had a 1.5% chance to draw first, but could only have picked as high as 4, but they also could have picked lower than 14, so that's a positive. The Toronto Maple Leafs will have the number 1 overall pick in June's NHL draft in Buffalo. San Jose will pick at 2, Vancouver at 3, Chicago 4. In the NBA last night, the Pistons beat the Cavaliers 111-101 in game 1 of the Eastern Conference semifinals. Jarrett Allen had just 2 points after his double-double on Sunday. Detroit's going to host game 2 in the best of 7 Thursday night at 7. Out west, the Thunder crushed the Lakers 108-90 in game 1 of the Western Conference semis. And in baseball, both the Reds and Guardians lost on Monday. Cincinnati lost to the Cubs 3-2 in 10, while Cleveland fell at Kansas City 5-3. This update is sponsored by the Waterworks and Header Plumbing, Drain, Heating, and Cooling, together to serve you better. Scheduled today at thewaterworks.net.
Your morning just got more interesting. Distilled and barrel-picked for your listening pleasure. Bo Bishop, a local sports media legend. What William T. Sherman was to the Union Army, he is to Northern College football. A husband, a father, and middling youth sports coach. He's friends with Central Ohio sporting royalty.
I'm talking to Ohio State Athletic Director Ross Bjorken. Coach Day walking on with us right now. Good to see you, buddy.
Good buddy, Austin Ward.
My good buddy, Tim May, the Tim May Show.
The great Doug Lamery is joining us.
Hi, everybody. Dom Tabari here.
Oh, Reese came in, and he handed me papers.
Yeah,
and then
it's a rundown.
And then he said, you see that button? That's the only button you need to worry about. Don't touch. There's 8,000 buttons in front of me. Oh, I didn't know what he was talking about.
The one that says on.
We blew the budget on this imaging. And only two guys answered our ad on Craigslist. Ryan Baker and Eric Reeser. Act accordingly. You're now listening to Bishop and Friends.
Bishop and Friends is sponsored by Diamond Seller, your true jeweler for over 75 years.
All right, let's do it live on a First Friday Miracle edition of the program. Bo and the boys with you for the next three, a little higher or lower, coming out of spring football at 10 o'clock. Bill Bender going to join us in the sporting news. Our buddy, he joins at 10:30, and then 11 o'clock, it is your turn for a little hey, guys. Get those into the fellas at 971BFS. You can also do so live in the YouTube chat. We will take those coming up at 11 o'clock. Get your officially endorsed as well. Wanted to start here. Had an interesting experience last night watching the Cavs game, and it reminded me of something. I grew up a Lakers fan, and for the majority of my life, they were the sports team that mattered most to me. For some of you, the team that might matter most to you is probably Ohio State football. For some of you, it could be the Blue Jackets or the Crew or the Gardos / Indians for Reese. Whatever your most passionate thing was, the team that I cared most about as a kid was the Los Angeles Lakers, and I would watch pretty much every game they played, every game that I could. All the way really through college, early professional, and really probably until we had kids, if they played, I'd watch. That's how much, I was kind of into it. And I recall this moment in just crystal clear. Coming out of winning back to back championships in the early 2000s, and you could start to feel a little friction between Shaq and Kobe and all of those things. The Los Angeles Lakers acquired Karl Malone. Now, I hated Karl Malone, hated him, hated his entire career. He was kind of the one guy. My brother was a Bulls fan, so I was always trying to minimize Jordan and the Bulls at that time. But he was the one guy I couldn't even root for against Chicago was Utah and Karl Malone. I could not stand Karl Malone, could not stand the way he went about his business. Didn't like any of it. In the 2003-2004 season, Karl Malone played for the Los Angeles Lakers. And you were in this impossible spot of now rooting for somebody who, quite honestly, I couldn't stand on the court, off the court, any of it. And it's like, this looks wrong. There's no reason for this guy to be in this uniform. I can't stand the way he goes about his business at all. We've had one of these here in town. I don't know how many of you are honest enough to remember it, but AR and I were doing the show when they hired Urban. And a great many of you, we take calls at that time, a great many of you could not stand that hire. Could not stand it because of what had happened in the national championship game. Could not stand it. And the reality was
that it flipped, obviously. It started to flip, and it moved around, and then obviously everything was fine, and winning solves all. Now, Karl Malone did not win with the Lakers. They ended up losing in the finals to the Pistons, and the Lakers broke up, and Shaq got traded to Miami, and the rest kind of became history. Kobe had the second titles later on in his career with Powell, and then that was kind of the end of it. But for one season, I had to root for Karl Malone. And as I'm watching the Cavaliers last night, and I'm not a Cavaliers fan per se, but my kids like him. My wife's from Cleveland, so especially this time of year, we'll watch. And the kids were excited to watch, and I was excited that they were to watch something other than their phones. I felt the same way watching James Harden last night. And he wasn't even that bad. He had 22, 8, and 7. I just cannot stand the way that he plays basketball. I cannot stand the way that his influence has had on the game in terms of the ability to just draw fouls and go one-on-one and get people in the air, all the stuff that he did in his prime when he got the MVP. I can't help but watching, thinking that some of the way he goes about his business is limiting what Donovan Mitchell can do. I cannot stand watching him play. I cannot stand watching the Cavs with him on the roster. I suppose potentially they're better with it or not. I haven't watched as much as you have, Reese. I don't know if this is a better version of them or not, but I just know I can't stand watching this. And yet I have to, and I'm going to root for them because I want them to at least beat the Pistons, and at least for our sake and for all of your sake who are Cavs fans, get to an Eastern Conference final, hopefully against New York, and you kind of have all the atmosphere that kind of comes with that. But I don't know how many more games of watching this guy play basketball I can handle, because I feel like I'm at the end of the rope with it right now.
I would say you've at least got three more. If they are swept out of the Eastern Conference semis, I think they come to an agreement with Harden to trade him. He's got a player option for next season. Yeah, I don't think he'll be on this roster. I said this on T-Bone and Tyvus the day after the Garland-Harden trade. I said the Cavs just went from an Eastern Conference semifinal knockout to an Eastern Conference semifinal knockout. I understand their desperation.
Like a move, you think?
The move was linear. You're paying about the same price in Harden. You're getting an aging vet that's going to, in the playoffs, drive you nuts, rather than a young player that you can't rely on to be healthy by the playoffs. Yeah. And throughout this regular season, the only thing that's mattered is the postseason. Yeah. And I think for Harden last night, because there's a moment in the fourth where the Cavs tied up, largely because of the 13 points for James Harden. But I also saw this, that he had just as many shots made as he had turnovers. Mm-hmm. And so the first three quarters are a little negated because of the 13 he has. But also, with the free throw disparity last night, I think the Pistons went to the free throw line 36, or at least had 36 free throw attempts compared to just 15 for the Cavaliers. Donovan Mitchell, after the game, says, well, I don't flop, mm-hmm. when he was asked about the disparity. Well, James Harden does. Yeah. And I wonder if, because you're wearing the same uniform, because there were some times where Harden was looking for the flop call, and he didn't get it. He does that silly jump into the defender as he's shooting, mm-hmm. and hopes to get the call, and they didn't give it to him. This is going to be a frustrating series if Harden continues to play like this, and there's no reason to believe that he won't.
You ever had to root for somebody you hate, Bick?
It's funny because I'm trying to think of this with my teams.
There's two I can think of for Blue Jackets that you ended up hating, but my guess is you didn't hate them in the moment of acquisition. That'd be Adam Foote and Jeff Carter.
I was about to say, did Jeff Carter do anything for you?
So, I never had the vitriol for Adam Foote like a lot of people did. And I understand he forced his way out. Mm-hmm. But the Adam Foote move was great. It's what the Blue Jackets needed. Unfortunately, they didn't do more with that and get more around him. Mm-hmm. The Jeff Carter thing, I don't think I ever had the hate for Jeff Carter because he never wanted to come here in the first place. No. So why would you make the trade? And it was just a desperate move. So I was probably more mad that the Blue Jackets made the move than I always thought Mike Richards, who ended up getting mm-hmm. traded to the LA Kings first from the Flyers before Jeff Carter came here. Mike Richards was always the guy I wanted from the Flyers anyway, because mm-hmm. he was that guy that is a jerk, is a prick on the ice. Yeah, but he didn't play that way.
No, he did not.
Mike Richards played that way, and that's that guy that the Blue Jackets have always kind of needed. One guy I think of that probably a lot of Blue Jackets fans didn't like when he came in, but they ended up loving him, and it's just like a Brad Marchand situation, is Scott Hartnell. There's a lot, that's a good one. A lot of hate for Scott Hartnell. Now, I always loved Hartnell's game, and I thought it would be perfect, just like I love Brad Marchand's game and think he would be perfect for the Blue Jackets. But there's probably a lot of people when that move was made that didn't like it. I can think of one on the Browns, and it wasn't because he came from another team. It was because he came from Michigan, and I actually never thought he would be very good, was Jabril Peppers.
Jabril Peppers, yeah.
He I never liked that.
He really thought that people didn't like him because he went to Michigan, and I don't think that that was, I don't think that was that big of an issue. Was that side of it? Like Donovan Peoples-Jones didn't have any trouble with that. I don't think it was that. I think most people thought it was a reach to draft him where he was drafted, and maybe that was where the issue was. Do you guys remember? How did you feel about the Urban thing? I remember I had, because I covered him at Florida, and I remember I had to come on here all the time and say, like, I promise you, he is going to win at a massive level. And there were a ton of people who were pissed off at that hire.
I was thrilled.
I mean, I remember taking, AR can attest to this. We took a ton of calls of people that were pissed off about that.
Just still sore over 06.
I guess. Yeah.
But I remember being, I remember in the, was it the Capital One Bowl that Ohio State played Florida in? I'm like, that's fine. We got your coach. Like thinking that this, he
it's
was
the Gator Bowl, wasn't it?
Gator Bowl. He was going to do exactly what he did in Florida at Ohio State.
Yeah.
Like it was just going to be national recruiting. You're winning all of these battles. You're actually able to take on Nick Saban and win. Yeah. And you're going to build your program. I think there were a lot of people that saw what Urban did coming because it was just known.
Yeah, I never had a problem with the Urban thing because you knew he was going to win. He was one of the best coaches in college football, and you were getting that. I will say this, Bo, talking about the hate, and we talked about this a couple weeks ago. I do not think transfers between Michigan and Ohio State should be allowed, and I don't trust any Buckeye that was a Wolverine before. Like Justin Pippen, I'm never going to like him, and I'm never going to trust him.
Well, yeah. I mean, how about Kerry Combs running around in maize and blue? How crazy
is
that?
That's awkward.
When every time I see an image of them with him up that, I just think that looks crazy to see him in that stuff. That's the funny thing about, I just remember this with the Urban thing. I remember doing, we're doing Bishop and Rothman, and I said, Urban coming to Ohio State is Don Draper selling Mercedes-Benz. Mad Men was at its kind of at the middle of its run at that point. And I remember saying that. And then John Hamm became later the voice of Mercedes-Benz in their ads. Like it actually ended up happening. Don Draper did sell Mercedes-Benz. Rooting for people you hate is tough, or at least hate to watch. I don't think personally against Harden. But bigger picture, obviously, that one didn't go that well last night. And really, this was not great from an entertainment standpoint. We'll get to all of those things. Ryan Day said something with us yesterday that the timing of it is certainly pretty prescient. We'll get to that coming up at 9:30. We're off and running on a First Friday. Bishop and Friends right here on The Fan.
We have so many local shows, I can't fit them in a 10-second promo. So let's just say we're live and local all damn day. The Fan.
This is
Atlas Butler has convenient 2-hour service windows for heating, cooling, and plumbing service. Because nobody likes waiting around. You listen in BMB, nobody likes waiting around.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Your favorite fan shows are available as a podcast. What a concept. And don't miss exclusive podcast content like Austin and Burr. Listen on your schedule from anywhere in the world. Available wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello.
Atlas Butler has convenient 2-hour service windows for heating, cooling, and plumbing service. Because nobody likes waiting around. You listen in BMB, nobody likes waiting around.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Fan weather.
From the Logan AC and Heat Services Weather Center.
Cloudy skies eventually become mostly sunny throughout the day, with our temperatures getting up into the upper 50s to low 60s, and then for tonight, becoming mostly clear overnight with our lows into the upper 30s to low 40s. For Thursday, we will see clouds increase, but overall a pretty lovely day with temperatures in the upper 50s to low 60s. For The Fan, I'm meteorologist Meredith Garfalo with the 10 weather impact forecast.
1, 2, 3. Here in The Fan is always football o'clock. Proud to be your home of the Buckeyes, Browns, and all the NFL games you can handle. The Fan. They'll offer betting advice, but don't bet on it being good. You're listening to Bishop and Friends.
Radu on social saying he hated rooting for Neymar with Messi at Barcelona. And that was, he said that was more having to do with just the way that he played, not necessarily a rivalry thing. Which did get me thinking, though, of probably the best example of this is happened in one of the great rivalries in sports, which is Barcelona-Real Madrid. In the early 2000s, Barcelona had a captain named Luis Figo, who was beloved captain, and he joined Real Madrid on a $62 million transfer at the time, which was really, really big. So the second time he returned to Barcelona as a player, the fans there threw a pig's head onto the field. That's hate. That's hate. That's all-time dislike on that side of things. That was pretty good. Harden didn't do anything in terms of from a rival standpoint, but the way he goes about a business is tough. I don't really know. It's you watch these two teams play last night. It's hard to imagine a scenario where the Cavs make this a long series. It just feels like a very brutal matchup for them. And I don't watch all their games, but it feels to me like Cade Cunningham had an off night and they still won by 10.
Yeah. Now Jared Allen's almost unplayable. 2 points following up that the double-double that he had, and it's like they kind of forgot that you know, Jalen Duren had a double-double last night for the Pistons, and they were kind of forced to just keep it in James Harden's hands. And I know he had 13 in the fourth quarter, but you're digging yourself out of a hole. You're coming out of the gate with no energy. And that's one of the tougher games I've watched this season, of a season filled with tough games. There's just no real fight in this team. And I said, what, Cavs in 5 yesterday? Probably switch that to Pistons in 5.
It is bad. It is bad. The other one, there's no chance. I did watch a little of the late game Lakers Thunder. There's nothing the Lakers can do there. That's an absolute beatdown. I think the NBA is, this will be very interesting to watch. So, Cavs Pistons was on Peacock. So on one of my TVs, that's an easy way you go. On the other one, every time I load it, I have to retype in the password, do the stupid QR code. And I find that it's not the smoothest watch. I find that it gets behind, that it gets choppy. The two apps I have the biggest problem with all the time, and it's not an internet speed issue, so I don't know if it's TVs or what it is, if it's the apps, are Peacock and Paramount. Those are the two that I have the most trouble with. Like every other app that I stream with, pretty smooth. Netflix, Prime, all of them pretty smooth. For whatever reason, the Peacock app for me is a mess.
That's interesting, because I never have a problem with Peacock. Like, very rarely do I ever have to re-sign in. When I signed into my phone Saturday to watch the Kentucky Derby, it was super easy. Like, Peacock is always so simple for me, so that's weird.
On my phone, it's good.
Okay.
Because I've done that before, where I'm at U Sports, and I'll stream, like, a Buckeye game while I'm watching mm-hmm. or keeping an eye on something, like hoops. And on my phone, it works pretty good, but I find on the TVs, it's been tough.
Did you see, by the way, you mentioned the Lakers there for a second. Did you see Ric Flair choosing violence with Luka Doncic last night?
Nature Boy?
Yeah.
No, I did not. What was he doing?
He threw out this tweet. Luka.
What?
Please get in the game. Take a shot of cortisone and deal with the pain. They are paying you $50 million a year and you're not there. WTF. Hope Genie Bus trades you next year. Nobody Holy wants a cow. Lame duck on their team.
Oh, my God. Why? What is Flair? What is?
I know Flair was a Lakers fan.
Who isn't he a fan of?
That's true.
Whoever pays him money, he's a fan of.
I think we've seen him. I've seen him like on the Michigan.
Yeah.
In Michigan football. I know he's done Buckeye football.
But I do believe he is like actually a Michigan fan and a Lakers fan. Like I do think those are two of his fandoms. But he chose violence with Luka.
How old is he? He is 77 years old.
Well, here's Ric Flair on Ohio State.
I can't stand Ohio State.
Mm. Oh, okay. We hate to see that.
That's not
I mean,
good.
He went to the University of Minnesota, didn't he?
That wasn't Ric Flair. Did. That was like Richard Fleer. He was
Different guy?
He's the ultimate if you live long enough to... Well, I guess if you live a gimmick long enough, you become the gimmick.
Who lives their gimmick better? Flair or Tiberi?
I don't know if better's the right word, but it's Ric Flair.
Can you imagine who would could Tabari out Tabari Ric Flair out Ric Flairing Ric Flair?
Nobody can out gimmick Ric Flair.
I don't think you're gonna out.
I don't tell Dom no. I wouldn't tell him no. I wouldn't. The crazy thing for me with Flair is I didn't ever watch WCW as a kid because we didn't have cable. So I didn't I didn't even know who he was. There used to be a WWE magazine that one of my a friend of mine would get every month. And so that was kind of the way of keeping up in between like Saturday night's main event. And then my aunt would record like the pay-per-views. She would do that a little bit. So that was kind of the only avenue in, but I'd never seen this WCW stuff. So then in the early 90s, Flair came over to WWF. Mm-hmm. It was called at the time.
Yeah.
And I could tell that it was a really big deal that he came over. But I remember kind of thinking like, well, what's the big deal? Like compared to the other guys who were wrestling in WWF at that time, from a skill standpoint and like a high flying stuff that would impress you as a kid, he didn't really have any of that. But God, he was great on a mic.
I remember this was 2003. He became like they did a storyline where he was the half owner of the WWF and he wrestled Undertaker at WrestleMania. And it, I'll tell you what, that was my first introduction to a Ric Flair match. It's pretty great. And they didn't do anything special. They just kind of wrestled around and, well, Flair bled.
Oh, yeah.
He did that a lot.
He always bled.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. He could do that a lot. Some of his.
Makes me bleed my own blood.
I think the biggest thing that's benefited Flair has been the GIF generation. Those little clips of him in the 80s running his mouth. Like those things I think have given him an entirely new life the last 20 years.
It's like no context Ric Flair.
Yeah, that stuff.
On X is great.
Yeah. Yeah. That stuff all wins and he leans into all of it. So, all of those things hit. What do we got tonight in the We got Knicks, Sixers tonight. So they're going to be on this schedule, right? They'll play them every other day now?
Yeah, tonight, 76ers at Knicks, Timberwolves at Spurs. And then that copy and paste to Friday.
It's going to be
what
tough.
What you had last night, Thursday.
I'll be honest with you. So tonight's games are on ESPN, so that they're going to get a little bit more attention, you know, kind of from the casual fan. Then they go back to Prime Video on Thursday. This will be an interesting case study to see how much of this the fans can tolerate or are willing to tolerate. How hard are you willing to look for your games?
Mm-hmm.
We see it all the time. And I just like to be on ESPN one night, Prime the next, Peacock the next. You're making people do a lot of work to find your stuff, man.
It is
the
going
casual
to be,
fans.
It's going to be interesting to see the difference in the NBA mm-hmm. with the Peacock Prime numbers versus the ESPN numbers and see the difference there. You actually have a pretty good night for playoffs if you want to find stuff because NBA on the ESPN, the NHL is on TNT, so most people have all that stuff, so it's not going to be too difficult this evening.
I do think because the streamers are never fully honest over the numbers that you get someone either Prime or Peacock or maybe both touting record viewership for these playoffs.
Yeah. It'll be interesting to see how this all goes out because ESPN is the hockey is all on kind of the traditional places. Ryan Day was on with us yesterday. He mentioned something about the calendar, something we talk about a lot. Timing was pretty good as the AFCA said, you know what? We agree. We'll get to some of the details on that in 2 minutes. Bishop and Friends right here.
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah. They've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Bishop and Friends is sponsored by Diamond Seller, your true jeweler for almost 80 years. The Fan, Ohio's sports destination.
What's up?
What's up, man?
What's up with you?
All right, here's what's up on a First Friday Miracle edition of the program. Ryan Day on with us yesterday, and one of the talking points that Coach and I had to do with the college football calendar. Here was what Coach had to say about it.
What we're doing is we're having a hard time putting all of these issues and looking at them through one lens. I think they're all happening in sort of like silos is the best way to put it. You know, when you have the portal, when that opens, you have the amount of teams that are in the playoffs, you have the calendar itself. So you add all those things together, boy, it makes for kind of a crazy December and January. So I think one of the things that, you know, I'm going to keep trying to challenge everybody and we go to our Big Ten meetings here in a couple of weeks is like we need to make these decisions with all of those things in mind, not just individual decision. I think there's a lot of thoughts out there about all of these issues, but to me, like, we need the season to be over before we start going down the portal of figuring out who our next team is going to be and our next roster is going to look like. But it is what it is right now. And so, yeah, during that time period, we are looking for those connections and making sure these guys understand what it means to be at Ohio State.
So, Coach was on with us yesterday at 10 o'clock. By yesterday afternoon, Ross Dellinger reporting that the American Football Coaches Association voted last week to recommend the college leaders implement a playoff with, quote, the maximum number of participants. What does that even mean? What, 64? I guess you're connecting the dots and saying it'd be the 2014 model floated by Tony Petitti. Discontinue conference championship games, preserve Army Navy's exclusive window, but hold other games on that day, end the college football playoff by the second week of January, at least 6 days between games. Those were their recommendations. The maximum number, this is just self-preservation. Don't make it, it's not even about money for the coaches. That's athletic directors' jobs. That's president's jobs, commissioner's jobs. It's not about the money for the coaches. The coaches want to save their bacon. You can't fire somebody if they say, hey, we made the playoff. What do you mean? I made the playoff. That's the minimum requirement here. You got to make the playoff. Well, if 24 teams can make it, the whole top 25 damn near is in the playoff at that point. So what type of privilege is that if you make the playoff? That's like saying, oh, yeah, we're a tournament team in college basketball, but you lose in the first round every year. Well, okay, well, what is that? That's better than not making the tournament, but not by much. So the 24th thing, it's going to happen. And Beck, you've been pretty on that it's going to happen. I was, I guess, hopeful that it wouldn't, but it is. It's more and more coaches see it as a way to save their own rear ends and to stay employed. And so that's why they want to be able to do it. The discontinuing the championship games, preserving the Army Navy exclusive time window, but holding other games on that day. I suppose what they're saying is that they would start that first round of playoffs Thanksgiving weekend. If you're discontinuing conference championship games, if you have 24, how many get a bye? Is that a, because you'll have 16 game, was it, is that an 18 bye? Is that what that looks like when you pull up the bracket?
God, that's gross.
It is gross. But that, so that to me feels like what they're going for is you play that first round on that Thanksgiving weekend, because the next thing they want is they want this thing all done by the second week of January, which is very, very doable to do that if you get started as soon as you possibly can. You're not going to play games during the Christmas holiday, though, so that's a bit of a mess. But at least this is a step in the right direction of some bit of common sense, because I'm talking to Coach yesterday, and you talk about he's preparing for playing in a national quarterfinal or semifinal while trying to be in the portal and while trying to finish a recruiting class. Like, it just doesn't make any damn sense. And there are solutions to it, and the calendar's there to be fixed. You just have to try to fix it, and it feels like they're finally getting on board with all of that.
Yeah, these are, I mean, solvable issues, right? And that they have coaches, coaches of note. You have Brett Bielema, Brett Venables, Clark Lee, Pat Fitzgerald. It looks like Jeff Munkin is a member of the AFCA board, so that's the Army-Navy fix, or at least that's the, how do we know that Army-Navy are okay with moving that game, which just got an executive order to kind of maintain that window? Well, Army's head coach is telling you that he's on board with all of this.
I don't think they care about playing it. I just think they want it to stand on its own. I don't think they care about it being, you know, any weekend. You know, I don't.
Not in particular. Matters. They just want that window to themselves.
They just want a window to themselves. Yeah,
and this would do that. I think it would give other games on the same day. It would just give Army Navy like a 3-4 hour window.
So this is, why don't you guys pull up a calendar for this year in December, and let's just say that they did this, and let's just see how the weeks would play out. So 2014 playoff is 8 byes. So it's the 1 through 8 seeds all get byes. So in your head, just envision it this way. If you have a 1 seed and an 8 seed in a top bracket, they both are in a bye situation, a 4-5 in a bracket in a bye situation, a 2-7 in a bye, and then a 3-6 in a bye situation. Then you would have the 17, God, this is so stupid. 17 playing the 16 to play the 1, the 9 playing the 24 to play the 8, the 20 playing the 13 to play the 4, the 12 playing the 21 to play the 5, and so forth and so on. So you're playing 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 weeks of games is what that requires. So if you start that first round on Thanksgiving, which this year falls on when? Thanksgiving is the 26th this year?
Yeah, it looks like the 26th of November is Thanksgiving.
Okay, so if you play that first round on the 28th, that's 1 week.
Mm-hmm.
That would make the second round
that would be December 5th.
Okay. The third would be?
The 12th.
The 12th. Honestly, you don't even need to do that because you only have two more rounds left.
You could jump.
Or do you want to get away from Christmas?
So you jump Christmas, but then you're doing what I think a lot of people have asked and finishing the entire season on or by and around New Year's Day.
They're never going to do that, but they could play the semifinals. I mean, they really don't need to start Thanksgiving. They could start the first week in December. You could give everybody the bye of Thanksgiving and say, go be with your families, enjoy Thanksgiving, and we'll start this thing that first weekend in December, and you still have plenty of time. You could play the first round on the first weekend of December, which would be the 5th, the second round on the 12th, the third round on the 19th. You're off the 26th, so now you're playing the semifinals on New Year's Eve, New Year's Day, which is the Wednesday, Thursday, play one of them on each, and then you're playing the national championship game. You could play it the following Friday night or Thursday night. Which, on January 8th or 9th.
Isn't that how it kind of was when we first went to like a playoff format and whatnot? You had like your semifinals, yeah. January 1st or 2nd, and then 8th, 9th, somewhere in there, you were playing the title game.
Yeah. Yeah. There's plenty of time. This isn't even anything that dramatic. You're just taking week one and making it week zero. You're just putting the Ohio State-Michigan game, the Iron Bowl. You're just putting all of that stuff the way it used to be, which is the Saturday before Thanksgiving. You play Army-Navy on Thanksgiving weekend, and then you start the playoff the first weekend in December. There's plenty of time. You still have a bye for the Christmas holiday. That's easy. You still have that as a bye week. Then you get a little rest. Then you come and play national semifinals on New Year's Eve, New Year's Day, and play the following. I think Thursday would be kind of money. I hate the Monday. Friday would be awesome because everybody's off on Saturday, and so that would be great to play a national championship game on Friday. The only thing you'd have to do is just you'd have to play around the NFL a little bit in December.
That's the Thursday problem, right? Is the NFL has Thursday night games.
That I'm only saying for the national championship, though. I'm saying like the rest of the playoff, just play them on Saturdays, go to head-to-head with the NFL and just say, I'm sorry, like we'll do the best we can. Like you're not going to get these massive – when you're going to 2014 playoff – like, we can't protect windows anymore. You got to get games in. You're going to be playing games head-to-head with each other. You're not going to have college football playoff games and windows all to themselves with 24 teams.
So the CFP commissioners are scheduled to meet in person in mid-June to likely review these recommendations by the American Football Coaches Association. They've got till December 1st to tell ESPN of their plan. Is this implemented by the next set of playoff? So it'll be the 2027 season.
I think a version of this is...
six.
I think a version of it is. I think that the, think of it, silos of problems, right? One silo is the financial stuff, which is problematic. That's the most complicated. The second thing is the eligibility silo. That one is definitely less complicated than the money one. And it feels like they have a solution for that. Five to play five. Whenever you start playing, you have 5 years to play five, and that's kind of it. That seems like a workable solution. And this is the most of the three. This is the easiest. This is the easiest to fix. Just move the games up a week, get rid of the December signing day, keep the portal closed until January when the season's over. That's a pretty easy fix for everybody that everybody can co-sign. I don't know who would have a problem with any of it.
Isn't it crazy how fast the narrative on the 2014 playoff has flipped? I mean, it was the only people that wanted it, the only person that wanted it was Tony Petitti. He was laying, then, you know, the Big Ten schools, they were being good soldiers and following along. But that was it. Now, all of a sudden, yep, this is where we're going.
I don't know so I still hate it. I mean, I about got sick just reading that ridiculousness. The 17 playing the 18. I mean, what are we doing? I mean, just think of the garbage teams I'm talking about here. You talk about the 18th ranked team in the country?
Yeah.
21st ranked team in the country? Get out of here. I do not need to see them play anymore.
Looking at 20 playing. Yeah, the bracket and the way it's set up going into championship weekend. You've got North Texas playing Michigan, Tennessee playing Notre Dame, Georgia Tech playing BYU, Virginia playing Utah.
These are not serious.
I'm good with all that. Navy would have played Vanderbilt.
Do we need those games?
No.
The conference is due, and I see the... Damn it, Tony Petitti, I see the vision. Because this is his job. And this is the job of conference commissioners.
Yeah, his job is to make more money, and he's going to get more money for this. The conferences are going to get more money if they can get organized. You're going to get a lot of bad ball, is what it is. There aren't that many teams. And of course, I get why the coaches are saying it. The administrators are saying it because there's more money, and the coaches are saying it because now I can save my job. I'm a playoff team. So all of a sudden, just think of this. Like USC and Michigan jobs would both be playoff teams, Bake. 9-4 teams would both be playoff teams in this model.
I wonder, though, is it going to save jobs? Because people, I think, are going to realize eventually, you got in, but you lost in the first round. You're not advanced. Like, I don't think getting in is going to save your job. It might for a season.
It will for a little bit.
But
people start to wrap their head around how stupid it is.
It's just like if you're the 76th team in the NCAA tournament, is that going to save your coaching job?
I think 24 is stupid. I think it sucks. I think 16 is too much. To me, it's 8 at most. But this is where they're heading because they need some more inventory. Boy, the conspiracy theorists are out. We'll get to this story coming up next. Bishop and Friends right here on The Fan.
All the 10 TV people come over to our side of the building to take a deuce. That should tell you something about how we operate. The Fan.
Colin Mann here for...
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
News. Jack has personally invited the Fan to the Memorial Tournament, and we're broadcasting 30 hours of live content, and we'll try not to embarrass ourselves.
Sponsored by Ohio for Responsible Gambling. Visit pausebeforeyouplay.org.
Hey, what's up?
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
The Fan Poll is sponsored by JT's Pizza and Pub, home of award-winning pizza and $2 tall boys. All day, every day.
Find us on YouTube. Search WBNS Radio and you can see what Bo looks like. But only if you subscribe. This is Bishop and Friends.
Indeed it is. It's your Uncle Bo here. It's time to do something we've all thought about at one point. It's time to upgrade that road trip of yours. And the good folks and my great friends at RCDRV are having their open house sale. Started last weekend, still continues, runs through the 9th. You can shop 850-plus RVs, all trusted brands, because, of course, it's RCD. Plus, they'll have free maintenance seminars, financing incentives, and more. And when you buy any in-stock camper, they're going to give you $1,000 in RCD gift card. And if you buy a motorhome, they'll up it to $1,500. There are no limits in the RV life. It's just you and the family, the freedom to go anywhere. No crowds, no renting a car, no airports. You've been to one of those recently? Get to RCDRV's open house. Started last weekend, runs through the 9th. Still plenty of time, but get there this weekend and start planning your adventure today. I got this from Snagglepuss asking the question, what would they do with the Heisman? I think you just do it Thanksgiving weekend if they insist on still doing it that way. I think the Heisman has to make a decision. I don't have a problem Heisman staying where it is, just from the standpoint of if you change it, I think it becomes most valuable player on the team that wins the national championship. Maybe that's what it should be. I don't know. That's a tricky question. Is the MVP awards in professional sports, are they minimized if the player that wins them, if their team doesn't win it? In some instances in the NBA, I think sometimes that's been the case. I don't know that I've ever looked at an NFL MVP if they didn't win the Super Bowl and thought, well, we got that wrong. That's kind of a preference thing.
Yeah, I would think that if this goes into effect, they move it to just the regular season. And then you have the playoff make their own MVP, and then you can throw a sponsor on it like the Heisman does with Nissan.
Yeah.
I think there is a difference, and I hope that they can differentiate a difference. I don't care which one it is, but...
Yeah.
I guess the one thing I would say, and I'm normally a Heisman should be the regular season and everything else is extra. What are the chances, though, the Heisman winner now is going to come from a team that's outside of these 24 playoff teams?
Zero.
It's zero. So why not just take the whole thing and, you know, have all of it be part of the voting?
Boy, you're right, because I was even thinking about, like, Travis Hunter, because that wasn't a great Colorado team, but they still won 10 games, I think.
They'd have probably been in the playoff in the system.
Yeah, I think they probably would have. I mean, everyone is.
And does this vaporize the idea of having that play-in gimmick?
So, refresh the audience. Scott dropped that on us yesterday, Reese, and I love Scott, so I wasn't getting into it, but he was really a proponent of it. As you can probably tell by my leading tone, I am not.
So instead of a conference championship game, the weekend that the conference title tilts would normally be on, the conferences have, what was it, four games where one plays eight, two plays seven, and so on, and then that's how you seed the playoff from your conference?
I couldn't tell if he was proposing that or like one plays two, three plays four, five plays six, seven plays eight. I don't even, I think they both suck.
Still seeds into the playoff somehow? Again, we're workshopping it and we're trying to throw stuff at a wall to see what sticks, but.
I would say what I thought he was going to go, where I thought Scott was going to go with that was like have conference games that weekend that play into the tournament. So in other words, like not for seeding, but they don't want to do that because nobody wants to play leverage games. But like, it's almost like, okay, oh, the Big Ten in a 2014 playoff, the Big Ten has three automatic seeds. And then the last two Big Ten seeds that get in, you have to play play-in games. Maybe I could get behind that, but I don't like Ryan Day sure as hell does not want to play another high leveraged game before going over a 5-game stretch to win a national championship.
I mean,
and I don't think they need to
extrapolate that out to the other conferences.
Yeah.
Like Joey McGuire doesn't at Texas Tech. Kirby Smart damn sure does it with Georgia.
No. I mean, Kirby was pissed off. He's had to play the SEC title game the last few years.
So it sounds like to me in this proposal that those would be gone because you're going right in on conference championship week. You're going right into playoff games. In a way we go. To me, you have already devalued the regular season so much. Why are we devaluing it again? Like Ohio State, Michigan... As much as we hate it, doesn't mean what it used to anymore. No. Now it's going to mean absolutely nothing other than, hey, it's our rival. But how many guys are, if Ohio State, I don't know. Somebody's going to sit that game out at some point and it is going to piss everyone off. But it doesn't matter in your end game.
Dude, we just lived this. We just lived it. Your point is on point. If you could pick between the 24 season or the 25 season, which one brought you more joy? One, you didn't beat Michigan, but you won a national championship. The other one, you beat Michigan, but didn't win a national championship.
Yeah, that playoff run's pretty magical.
Yeah, it's everything that the purists have feared is all coming to fruition.
And it's so funny because you wouldn't trade that 4-game run for anything. But that was one of my least favorite seasons ever, watching Ohio State football until that point.
Well, and I think that's where this is. We've talked about this the last couple of years, guys. This is the dangerous part of this right now. Because if you are, I mean, next year Ohio State's schedule is a real one. And the year after that, they got Bama, and so there's, you know, there are. But even that 24 season, hell, even last season, you had the Texas game, thankfully. Imagine if you didn't have that, because they probably won't schedule those type of games anymore. You had the Texas game, the Penn State game, and you had the Michigan game. Everything else, how much fun was it? It was like, okay, they won, on to the next. Okay, they won again, on to the next. Like, the thing that makes this sport so special forever has been that the games mattered. The games mattered, and the talent wasn't always going to equate, but on any given Saturday, you had to continue to win to have a chance. You go to 24, I mean, quite honestly, coaches won't do it, but they could go completely the other way. They could play NFL schedules. You could play no paycheck games. You could just play all bangers, because you're going to go, Ohio State could go 8-4 and make the playoff. No doubt that would happen, playing an ambitious schedule. Hell, last year, Iowa wouldn't even have been like a, they would have been the 17 seed in this ridiculous thing. They were 9-4 football team. And they would have been in. They've already done it. It sucks. It does suck. Now, we'll all watch.
That's the thing.
We'll all watch.
And we'll lament how bad some of the games are coming out of that opening weekend.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the way it's going to go. We'll get a little higher, lower coming your way next. Bishop and Friends right here on The Fan.
Matty Ice has a large tattoo on his calf of LeBron eating a lion. I have nothing else to say. Rothman and Ice.
Weekdays from noon to 3.
The Fan.
Hey, what's up? It's T-Bone.
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Live from the McDaniel GM Superstore Studios, driving excellence since 1916. Chevrolet. Together, let's drive. WBNS HD1 Columbus.
Good morning, I'm Eric Reeser. No ping pong luck for the Blue Jackets last night. CBJ did not win the draft lottery for the 25th straight year. Columbus will pick at 14 in next month's NHL draft in Buffalo. The Toronto Maple Leafs won the number one overall pick, likely to use it on Penn State forward Gavin McKenna. San Jose's going to pick at 2, Vancouver at 3, Chicago 4th. In baseball last night, the Cubs beat the Reds 3-2 in 10. It's the 5th straight loss for Cincinnati. Both teams are back at Wrigley Field tonight at 7:40 in game 3 of the 4-game set. As for the Guardians, Cleveland lost in Kansas City 5-3. Third straight loss for the Guardians. Both teams are back at Kauffman Stadium tonight at 7:40. In the NBA last night, the Pistons beat the Cavs 111-101 in game 1 of the Eastern Conference semifinals. Detroit's going to host game 2 of the best of 7 on Thursday. On the court tonight, the Knicks host the Sixers in game 2 of their Eastern Conference semis. New York leads there 1-0. This update sponsored by BMI Federal Credit Union. Go to Best Credit Union for the past 8 years by CBUS Top Picks. Visit BMIFCU.org to learn more.
Connect with the show on X at 971BFS. Jump in our YouTube chat or just send a raven. You're listening to Bishop and Friends.
All right, second hour on a First Friday Miracle edition of the program. Still time to get your Hey Guys questions into the fellas at 971BFS. Also do so in the YouTube chat. That is coming up in about an hour from now. Bill Bender is coming up in 29 minutes from now. Now, time for a little higher, lower.
Bishop and Friends present Higher or Lower.
I think it was early this week or late last week, we talked about one ESPN college football analyst's post-spring top 25. I think it was Josh Pate of ESPN. Well, Joel Klatt released his earlier this week. Fox Sports' Big Noon Kick Man.
All right.
Has 25 teams he's ranked after spring. And okay. I think the understanding of this is, well, I guess we'd have to, I'll see if I can find the audio of why he put these teams where he did, because all I have in front of me are the rankings. And okay. I want to figure out if there's a differentiator between who he thinks is the best and who he thinks is going to be ranked in the top 25. Because the strength of schedule is an interesting conversation, because I don't necessarily think that means you're the best team. That's a conversation for a different day.
Yeah, what I'm curious about is, and this would be just a preference thing, like, does he think this is where they should start? Or does he think this is who he thinks are the best teams as they stand right now? I think you should do the latter.
Yes.
I think that's what you should do with a poll all the time, but not everybody does it that way. It's totally subjective, which is this whole sport, which makes it so beautiful.
At number one, he's got the Oregon Ducks. At number two, the Notre Dame Fighting Irish. At three, the Ohio State Buckeyes. Higher or lower for OSU at three?
I would have Ohio State one. I understand why he has them three. You can make a pretty straight line argument for Oregon being number one in terms of returning quarterback and everything else. I do think it's interesting that, like, for whatever reason, people are a little down on Julian for the last two games, but there is no conversation about Dante Moore in big game struggles or anything like that. I think you can make an argument that Oregon's number one. I can't shake the Oregon performances in the playoff the last 2 years. I just have a hard time shaking that. So, like, I know they have a lot of talent, but they've gotten bombed. And so I could not have them number one. I get the Notre Dame thing a little bit, too. But, I mean, you're replacing both backs there And C.J. Carr was pretty good last year, but this year, starting over at running back a little bit, I would have Ohio State number one. I do think that these three teams that he has, 1, 2, 3, should all be in the top five of the country, though. I think all three of those are top five teams.
So I actually like Ohio State at three. I think that's where I would have Ohio State as well here in mine. And I actually like Oregon at number one. I think Dante Moore is the best quarterback in college football. I think he has a bunch of weapons. And I understand, Bo, that whole Oregon's never won anything is still there.
Mm-hmm.
But I do think heading into the season, Oregon should be ranked number one. Now, I would not have Notre Dame, too. I would have a Notre Dame actually at right behind Ohio State. But I like Ohio State at number three.
I mean, they just think about the last two games Oregon played to end seasons. Indiana beat them 56-22. Both that game and our game in the Rose Bowl were over at half. Cooked at half. I just can't shake that.
Fox Sports' Joel Klatt has his post-spring at top 25. At 4, Indiana. At 5, Georgia. At 6, Miami. At 7, Texas. Higher or lower for the Longhorns at 7?
No, I think he... I don't know that I'd have Indiana 4. You have all the faith in the world with him, but he's starting over here in a lot of ways. And they're definitely top 10, but I'd probably move them down a little bit. I'd move Georgia up a little bit. Miami is an interesting one with Mensa at quarterback. I know they returned Tony and some of the... But I don't know. I would probably have Texas in this vicinity. I like that he doesn't have them one, because a lot of people have had them one. And they, yes, they brought in a lot of talent in the portal, got the number one receiver in the portal in Cam Coleman, but at the same time, they had a lot of defections too. So I think this is about the sweet spot for them, is somewhere between 4 and 7, 5 and 7, something like that. This is a little bit on the lower end of it. I would probably have Texas. I have a little bit more faith in Texas running it back than Miami running it back. So I'd give Texas maybe a little bump, but not much. And I think of this little quadrant that you're talking about, I would move Georgia up.
So I would actually have Texas number two. And maybe part of that is wishful thinking to get the Buckeyes a little more fired up for that game, week two,
yeah,
against the Longhorns. But I think Arch will have a better season this year. I think they do have some very talented players with Colin Simmons on that defense. I just think that they're a team that's right there with Ohio State and Oregon and Notre Dame and Georgia as having the best talent in the country. So I would have Texas higher. I would have Texas at number two. You were talking about Miami. I think it was Brad Crawford, Bo.
Mm-hmm.
He said that he thought Miami had the best quarterback running back duo in the country. He's very high on Darian Mensa, and he mm-hmm. thought Mensa and Mark Fletcher was the best 1-2 punch in the country.
Okay. Yeah, I don't. Do you buy that?
I do not buy that.
I mean, I wasn't watching a lot of Duke football last year. I can't tell you. I know they had a nice season. What was he great statistically? I guess he was pretty good. Yeah, 4,000 yards, 67% completions, 34 touchdowns, 6 picks. That's pretty good. Pretty good for Duke.
Duke won the ACC.
I think they did, didn't they? Unfortunately, because that led to the...
At number 9.
Did they beat Virginia? Is that what that was?
Yeah, pretty sure. It was Virginia in the ACC.
It's like a lacrosse final or championship.
Because remember,
game.
We were talking about the ACC not getting anybody, and that's when we knew Notre Dame was going to get screwed in this thing.
Yeah, that's right. Yep.
At number 8 on this, Joel Klatt's post-spring top 25 college football rankings. At 8, LSU. 9, Texas A&M. At 10, USC. 11, Oklahoma. 12, Michigan. Higher level for the Wolverines at 12.
So I like LSU more than he does. I think Kiffin's a hell of a coach, and I think Leavitt coming in there is press play and away we go. I think LSU will be very formidable. I would go down on A&M, down on Southern Cal at 10, even though I like them more than you do, Bake. Oklahoma, about right for them. I don't understand Michigan at 12 at all. And I know Whittingham's a really good coach, but I didn't see anything last year from Underwood to lead me to believe. Because the 12th ranked team in the country, you should be a 10-2 team. I don't see 10-2 out of Michigan this year.
Yeah, especially if everything you're hearing out of Michigan is that Underwood has continued to struggle this spring. Right. I just think it's going to be tough for them to be the 12th best team in the country with the new coach, a quarterback that is possibly still struggling. So I think this is too high for Michigan. I'd probably have them down in the 16-17 range somewhere in there.
Yeah.
At 13, Texas Tech. At 14, Ole Miss. 15, Penn State. 16, Alabama. 17, BYU. 18, SMU. Higher or lower for Bo's Ponies at 18.
Kevin Jennings returning at quarterback, active in the portal, a lot of returning guys. Yeah, beloved ponies should be way up. He's got Texas Tech 13. Does he think Sorsby's playing?
I would imagine that's without.
Yeah, I think that's probably without.
Because they got enough talent to be in the top 20.
Yeah, I think that's too high. Even so, I think that's probably too high without a quarterback. I think he's got Ole Miss a little too low because Chambliss is coming back there. And they retained quite a few guys. I think he's Ole Miss a little too low. Maybe a little too high for Penn State. They're basically Iowa State. So, I mean, the schedule, the only thing with Penn State is, and this goes into that other thing, like, do you look ahead to the schedule? Their schedule is so cake this year at Penn State. So that maybe is. But you asked about the ponies. I'd have the beloved ponies up.
So I feel like 18's pretty close to the right spot for SMU. Texas Tech is an interesting one because Sorsby was coming in there, but I think Will Hammond is still a pretty good quarterback, and it seems like he had like a little bit of an injury issue that is way ahead of schedule right now. So I think that Texas Tech roster is still pretty good, and I think Will Hammond will be fine at quarterback. So that might be right. I'm with you, Bo. You want to talk about 1-2 punches in the country? Trinidad Chambliss and Quan Lacy is about as good as it gets. Like, yeah. That's right up there to me with Julian Sayin and Bo Jackson returning for Ohio State. So I know there's a coaching switch over here with them, and Pete Golding's going to have to do it for the first time for a full year. Yeah. But I would have Ole Miss much higher than this.
Yeah.
At 19, you got Washington, 20, Arizona, 21, Iowa, 22, Houston, 23, Utah, 24, South Carolina, and at 25, Tennessee. Can't go any lower in a top 25 than 25, but higher or lower for the Volunteers?
Who's the quarterback at Tennessee this year? Did they dip into the portal again, or did they have a kid that they brought in? He's got South Carolina 24. That season went off the rails for them. But the NFL likes Sellers. They've got the defensive end who's going to be a top 10 pick in the draft as well, probably. A lot of talent there. And I also think Utah may be a little too high at 23. Guys, you see the problem we're having, though, here? These teams are all going to be playoff teams. I mean, this just continues the conversation we were having. Like, does anybody need to see Utah and Houston and Arizona and Washington and SMU and BYU and Iowa, like, play for a national title? Penn State with an Iowa State roster? I mean, like, who needs to see any of this?
Tennessee's
There's a line of delineation between the haves and the have-nots that's still there in the sport.
George McIntyre, Faison Brandon. Either one of those two will be your quarterback for the Vols.
Yeah, a bunch of freshmen and Brandon. I think it's I can't get on board with Tennessee in the top 25 right now. I don't know what Tennessee wants to be. Because it seemed like they were going all in football, and now they are definitely all in on their basketball program this offseason. Yeah. So where are they putting all of their money? It looks like they took their money from football this year and put it all into basketball. So I'm out on Tennessee.
Which, by the way, leads into our next conversation, because where do you want to spend your money? I certainly understand the people that say, we spend some money on basketball, we can make like Arkansas, we can be great right out of the gates. We can be like Michigan, hell, win a national title, put a lot of money into it. We'll get to that coming up next. Bishop and Friends, right here on The Fan.
We used to have a billboard with our host's face on it, but only ugly people work here now.
Your mama say you ugly, hey!
The Fan, Ohio's sports destination.
Looking to sell your...
Atlas Butler has convenient two-hour service windows for heating, cooling, and plumbing service. Because nobody likes waiting around. You listening, BMB? Nobody likes waiting around.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Have you ever met a man who wins money betting on tennis? Enter Scotty Vegas. Join Scotty and Dave Biddle for On the Money.
Presented by Ohio for Responsible Gambling.
Sunday mornings at 9 on The Fan.
How do you make it?
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
And weather.
From the Logan AC and Heat Services Weather Center.
Cloudy skies eventually become mostly sunny throughout the day, with our temperatures getting up into the upper 50s to low 60s, and then for tonight, becoming mostly clear overnight with our lows into the upper 30s to low 40s. For Thursday, we will see clouds increase, but overall a pretty lovely day with temperatures in the upper 50s to low 60s. For The Fan, I'm meteorologist Meredith Garfalo with the 10 Weather Impact Forecast.
All the Ohio State conversation you can handle. The Buckeye Show.
Weeknights at 6.
Your Ohio State flagship station. The Fan. Our top men are working on everything except this show.
We have top men working on it right now.
Who?
Top men.
You're listening to Bishop and Friends.
Indeed you are. We are proudly brought to you and sponsored by our great friends at Diamond Cellar, your true jeweler for nearly 80 years. TikTok, guys. Mom's Day is coming. Graduations. They'll take care of you. I assure you of that. The conversation, you brought up Tennessee and the big in on basketball. Arkansas did the same thing. Arkansas said, hey, we've got, and by the way, Arkansas's got a lot of billionaires. With all of the all the Walton family and all of the stuff that they're, the Tyson chicken money, all that stuff. And Arkansas said, hey, let's get Cal and let's give him the resources. And we've got some history with basketball, won a national championship in 1994. Let's go all in on this. And maybe this is the way for us to have success quickest is in this way. And they did. They got to a Sweet 16. Acuff was great, and they have another great class that's coming in next year. Tennessee's maybe thinking the same thing. Like, is it easier to just do this and kind of go all in on hoops and try to win a national championship this way? You've seen teams in the SEC put their resources towards baseball and try to win baseball. It matters a lot down there. 10,000 people show up to some of those places on a Friday night for a baseball series in the Southeastern Conference or in the ACC. So how you decide to spend your money is a twofold equation. It's first in NIL that has been funded, and NIL comes in two different forms. It comes in true NIL, i.e. Jeremiah Smith Red Bull. It also comes in collectives, which is essentially pay for play NIL. Then in addition to that, there's the 20 some million bucks that gets spread around teams. So the tricky thing there is if you are putting an operation together and you have a player who has a massive number of true endorsements, true NIL, they might not need as much to be coming from your bucket, if that makes sense. So let's say Bake and Reese, let's say you both are $6 million players.
Hell yeah.
Okay. Let's say that Reese has endorsements with pick three companies you want endorsements with.
Let's go Adidas.
Yep.
We'll go Chipotle.
Perfect.
And Red Bull.
Perfect.
Kind of like Jeremiah Smith in that regard.
Perfect. So you've got the Jeremiah Smith package. You got those three.
It's a great gig.
It's a great gig. So you've got those three, and they are paying you $5 million a year from those companies for you to endorse those products. Well, let's say Bake's like, you know what? I'm a $6 million player too. I don't want to do any of that. I just want the $6 million because that's the rate. Well, that money, and we said, well, we can't lose Bake. That money is going to come from collectives and it's going to come from salary. So if you're putting an operation together, you want all of the Reese's that you can. Because those guys allow for you to take that other money and spend it on other players. So if you have guys with true NIL, because here's the secret. These kids don't care where it's coming from. If you have kids with true NIL, then you can take that salary and go spend it elsewhere on the roster. So this gets back to the conversation you're having around where to spend the money, which dovetails into this next conversation in terms of this interview that the Columbus Dispatch did. This was on May 1st with Dr. Ravi Belamkonda, the new president at Ohio State. And Belamkonda says in this interview that the default position for Ohio State is to maintain the 36 athletic programs. He says, quote, "We're very committed to Olympic sports beyond all the revenue sports and such. But like any good leader, you have to be open to other possibilities. But I don't see any reason to go away from that mission unless we have to for some reason. So as long as we're able to compete, take care of all these sports and do well, our intention is to try to continue that." The scenario that we just played out with you two, if you have too many guys who play the role that we had Bake play there, then this stuff has to go away. In order to maintain all of this, you need your high-profile guys to take money in true NIL as much as they can get. And then you can start to spread everything else around.
I know that the new president was talking about the Olympic sports here. Mm-hmm. And Ohio State is doing well in those Olympic sports.
Yeah.
But there's also not a lot of NIL in those Olympic sports, and Ohio State is not paying those sports. Now, they are paying to fund those sports.
Sure.
Which is part of the problem here. But what about your men's basketball team?
Mm-hmm.
They haven't been doing so hot recently.
Mm-mm.
So you're telling me you're okay sacrificing your men's basketball team to continue to be good at tennis, at fencing, at synchronized swimming, at rowing, at all of those things. Now, yep. If that's what you're telling me, okay. But then you're also going to lose me on some of my fandom for the basketball team, because if you don't care, then why should I?
What you just laid out is exactly the conversation that my guess is happening on a daily, hourly basis for Ross Bjork and the president and the board and the powerful people around town. What matters most to you? We can't do all these things. What do you care most about? Selfishly, I care most, because these are the sports I care about most around here, about football, basketball, and men's lacrosse. Those are the ones that I care most about. Lacrosse probably isn't for all of you. There's probably a great many of you that said, boy, where the baseball team could be good. But is the baseball team, could you ever make the baseball team good enough here financially to where it could actually contend? There's no real history for that. The lacrosse team's played for a national championship. Like, there's some history there. I don't know that the baseball team could ever do that.
Do you know why they went away from having the lacrosse team or lacrosse game be the appetizer for the spring game?
I don't.
Because that was that used to be really cool when they did that.
Yeah, well, they would play that at noon.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I also wonder, with the baseball team, like, where's Nick Swisher? Buddy, they named the field after you. Why don't you start helping out here? I'm thrilled to read those comments from Belamkonda. I was skeptical when Ross first maintained the stance that Gene Smith had of we're going to keep all 36 sports. And then Dr. Belamkonda says we're going to keep them as long as we're competing at the highest level. I think that's the most important caveat there, because I do think having as many sports as Ohio State does is a legacy thing for Gene. It's something that I think it's good that leadership understands the importance of that for the overall health of the Ohio State University.
So real quick, talking about
ambitious.
Yeah.
But I appreciate the ambition.
Talking about the baseball team, good job out of Justin Hare this year, as they've improved tremendously in year number two. Just took a series from number 16, Nebraska, so good job out of them. See, Reese, I kind of took these comments a different way, and yeah, it's good for now, but. So I don't know how great this is for 36 sports at Ohio State. It sure seems like that's what they want to do. But you've got to make sure your sports that make you money are competitive. And we know football is number one with that, and it's always going to stay competitive. They're going to give the resources there. But you've got to get that basketball team back to making more money, in my opinion.
If you said to Joe Buckeye fan, a basketball team that consistently gets to the Sweet 16 and wins the Big Ten, or keep a combination of 12 sports that are non-revenue makers, my guess is Joe sports fan would choose the former. Now, alumni may feel differently. There might be alumni who have a great sense of pride in having 36 sports. There might be. Probably is. The baseball one is an interesting one, and it's an incredible season that they've had. How many Big Ten teams do you think are ranked in the top 25 in college baseball right now?
Four?
Three.
Two. Nebraska's 25th. Nebraska. No, Michigan's not ranked.
Oh, wow.
No, Michigan's not ranked. Nebraska's 25th and USC's 18th.
Oh, I forgot. USC is a Big Ten school, aren't they?
Sure. Yeah, they sure are. Someone should add Oregon State. They're ranked 10th. Little revenue generator there. We'll get with Bill Bender in 2 minutes. Bishop and Friends right here.
Atlas Butler has convenient two-hour service windows for heating, cooling, and plumbing service. Because nobody likes waiting around. You listening, BMB? Nobody likes waiting around.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Bishop and Friends is sponsored by Diamond Seller, your true jeweler for almost 80 years. The Fan, Ohio's sports destination.
10 feet tall and bulletproof isn't just a saying, it's a way of life. You're listening to Bishop and Friends.
So our buddy Quiz, UCLA is ranked number one in baseball, so three Big Ten teams. When I see UCLA, I don't think Big Ten. Somehow I caught USC and I didn't catch UCLA. It's going to take some getting used to. Let's head out on the Bryant Heating Cooling Systems Fan Guest Hotline conversation with our good buddy Bill Bender at the Sporting News. Buddy, it feels like we're starting to get some things done here. We have this AFCA stuff from yesterday. I had Ryan Day on and he kind of outlined a calendar that he was going to kind of push for. Can we be hopeful that something is going to happen here with the calendar?
Yeah, I think that's, and Coach Day would say, you know, that's got to be the first priority. We've got to fix the calendar. And I didn't hear what he said in terms of the, I think we can all agree, though, that the season is too long when mm-hmm. the playoff is too long. The playoff takes like 50 days.
It does.
You know, it's got to be compressed a little bit because it sneaks up on you. Hey, it's March. How many of these spring games do you have starters that were in the playoff? Like Indiana, for example, Bo had, I think 16 projected starters didn't play in their spring game. Mm-hmm. So that just tells you that they're cautious about the calendar. The big one with me is conference championships. I think they got to go. I think we got to get rid of them. I understand both sides of the argument, but I would lose those.
I would get rid of them yesterday. I don't think anybody wants to play them anymore. I've always said make week zero, make week one, play the Ohio State, Michigan, Iron Bowl, all of that the Saturday before Thanksgiving. Give Thanksgiving Saturday to Army, Navy, and then start the playoff the first Saturday in December. And there's plenty of time. You're still going to get a bye around the Christmas holiday to have this whole thing done by January 8th or 9th. And then, Bill, isn't then the next just common sense thing to do to just get rid of that December signing day, get that out of the mix, and don't open the portal until it's done? That feels like we just did it in 30 seconds.
Do you do the portal at the end of the spring, or do you want the portal in January? That's the other big one.
I personally, buddy, would do it after spring semester to have some sort of something that made sense. But I don't think coaches want that. I think coaches want it in January because they want to have, quote, their team with them for spring football. So now if you want to move spring football to June, which I think would make a lot of sense, now maybe you're on to something.
Yeah, or you go open the portal in the spring as you get toward graduation. I think the spring portal in a lot of ways should be for graduate transfers who maybe you see it coming, hey, I'm not going to play, so I got to find somewhere to play my last season. I'm all down with that. And just the confusing part to me has always been you have signing day tucked in December when it's an active thought now, and you have players transferring that are on playoff teams. It mystifies me that you would be in a playoff run, but those kids, I don't hold it against them. They have to make decisions. So, yeah, the calendar definitely needs fixed in that regard, and I'm glad the AFCA came out with those recommendations because, for the most part, I'm on board with all of them.
I'm not on board with 24, but it feels like we're barreling towards that in terms of the playoff, and it's self-preservation, right, Bill? Like, these coaches are just saying, hey, look, I made the playoff. How are you going to fire me? To me, it's nothing more complicated than that.
I wouldn't go past 16. And I say this because last year, for example, we were, if we were at 16, Notre Dame gets in, BYU gets in, Texas, and I think Vandy. And I'm thinking, yeah, those were the teams that you were just outside that had legitimate playoff cases for very different reasons. Like Texas, mm-hmm. the whole, hey, if we didn't play Ohio State, we would have been 10-2. Notre Dame, obvious. Vanderbilt had a great year. Who wouldn't have wanted to see Diego Pavia in the playoff if you love him or hate him? Mm-hmm. And then BYU had a good year. I mean, their only two losses were to Texas Tech.
Yeah. Do you think that that's possible even to stay at 16? Because, buddy, there is a now we got these SEC coaches talking about 24. We have the AFCA saying the bigger the better. We get as big of a playoff as we can get. I hate all of it. Quite honestly, just my opinion, I think 8 is the number, but I'm with you on 16. One thing I just abhor, Bill, is buys. I can't stand the buys in any playoff. I think you should have to play. If you're in a playoff, everybody should have to play the same amount of games. But it feels to me almost like we're almost 16 is getting blown away. I've been shocked by the SEC coaches really now pushing for the 24.
Yeah, I don't like 24, but the more you hear the number, it's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's kind of like 76 in the basketball tournament. We heard it so much that you knew it was coming. Here's one thing that college football fans better be ready for if they go to 24, especially in places like Columbus and Athens, Georgia, etc. The regular season, you could see Ohio State, for example, sit starters in a regular yes. season game to get ready for the playoff and the playoff grind. You could see, and I was talking to Bobby about this, as much as we don't think it's possible, they could move the Michigan game around. Yeah. I could see it. I mean, everybody say, how could they ever do that? Well, I mean, would it mean more in November? Or is it a week 18 game? Like the NFL, the difference is the NFL, even though the Chiefs had a nice run, the one seed changes. Mm-hmm. The two seed changes and teams sit their starters all the time. And we don't even, if the Chiefs sit the starters in week 18, you and I, we don't react at all because it's an understood practice.
Mm-hmm. Well, and to further your point, Bill, it's if you're around here and you like having Texas come to town, that's over with 24. Yeah. There's no reason to do that type of stuff anymore. You don't need to. You're not doing that. You're just going to play a situation where you're going to go four cupcakes and give me my 8 Big Ten games, and we'll see on down the road and get me in the playoff because that's when it matters. What I fear about it is, and you and I are the same way. I think in this. I think there's nothing better than a big game on campus. I think there's nothing better than a fall Saturday in Pickett. You and I are both fortunate to have been to a ton of places for a big game on campus in a Saturday in the fall. Do we start to lose that when all of a sudden now all of your important games are taking place in December? Like that is not a college football month at all.
No, it'll become, it'll just feel like the NFL. It'll feel like Brown Steelers. Mm-hmm. And the difference to me with college football and NFL has always been when your NFL team loses a game, the reset's pretty quick, right? You're like, they're 9-4. They'll be fine. When a college football team used to lose a game, it could stick with you for a year and that's over too. I mean, you can lose 2 or 3 games and get in the playoff. You could probably lose 4 and get in this 2014 playoff. And that's, as long as you adjust your viewer setting, so to speak, and accept that, then that's where it's headed.
Yeah, it is headed there. What do you make of this Sorsby situation at Texas Tech?
I don't think he'll play again. And if he does, you open up a very big can of worms. Who's to say the next college athlete? And here's the difference. And I am empathetic from the standpoint that college athletes are exposed to more gambling than ever before. Mm-hmm. And the apps and everything and all the betting apps, it's in their face more than it was 25 years ago. But it's also a clear rule that you can't bet on your team. I mean, I look down the road in Cincinnati with Pete Rose.
Yeah.
We can all say he deserves to be in the Hall of Fame, and I believe that. But according to those rules, and he was betting on his own team, it's pretty clear on the wall in those baseball locker rooms dating back to 1919. So, yeah, I think it's a dangerous precedent if he plays.
Buddy, I don't think he's going to play in the league either.
Mm-hmm.
I think this is the one thing the league has no tolerance for. None. I just, I don't see him. I mean, even if he goes supplemental, I think that they would do like something like they did to Pryor, where they give him like a suspension. I mean, from a year. I don't see any scenario where an NFL team, and I've talked to some folks, would want any part of this.
Well, no, and because it goes to the integrity, and the NFL protects, as you and I both know, they protect the shield. Yes. At all cost. And that would be the only way is, let's say he goes through the supplemental draft. They hand him a year suspension at least, I would think is what it would be. And then because he's young, and I get it, like I said, all those reasons why gambling's different now. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, I mean, if they caught him allegedly betting a $10 bet on the Bengals if he was on their practice squad, the NFL isn't going to have that kind of publicity. There's no question.
They have zero tolerance for it at all. Absolutely none. Which is I'll get you out of here on this one. And we're in this, you know, post spring rankings world. Give me a team that you think people are too high on coming out of spring, and give me a team that you like maybe a little bit more than everybody else coming out of spring.
Okay, so the top five, we got ours coming. I'll give you a little tease. In any order, you could take Indiana, Ohio State, Georgia, Texas, Notre Dame. If you put any of those schools at number one, I'm okay with that. Because yeah. I think all five, and even Oregon on some level, I'm pretty high on Oregon based on what they have coming back. Big year for Dan Lanning. You've got to prove it in the playoff. Mm-hmm. As far as the team that people are high on that could disappoint, I could go either way, but I mean, I know the hype around LSU and Kiffin's going to be pretty substantial, but they play Clemson and Ole Miss in September. So we're going to find out right away what LSU is all about. And then a team I'm high on that maybe nobody is, you're going to laugh me off the air on this one. I do like USC, what they have coming back with Lincoln Riley. I know it's a prove it year. I think Gary Patterson fixes the defense just enough. And like you, Bo, I always have to look up and make sure that USC and UCLA are still in the Big Ten.
It's never going to change for me, man. It's like, take six glances. I like them, too. I like USC this year as well. I think they're a really nice team. Always enjoy the conversation, buddy. Thanks for some of your time.
Hey, anytime, Bill. I'll talk to you soon. Thank you.
There he goes, Bill Bender with the sporting news. Their top 25 coming pretty quickly. You got a little preview of that right there. We'll do Thing or Not a Thing up next. Bishop and Friends right here on The Fan.
A lot of hosts have been on our airways in the past 30 years. Some good, some bad, some really bad. Anyway, sorry for that. The Fan.
Nothing makes a gas.
Atlas Butler has convenient 2-hour service windows for heating, cooling, and plumbing service. Because nobody likes waiting around. You listening, BMB? Nobody likes waiting around.
Call 1-800-FURN.
Green with Skip Mossick.
Saturday, we'll chat with this year's Memorial Tournament honoree David Graham, plus local pros Ben Kern and Jared Jones, who both qualified for next week's PGA Championship.
Tita Green with Skip Mossick, Saturday mornings at 9 on The Fan.
Not all day.
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURN.
The Fan Guest Hotline is sponsored by Right Way Heating and Cooling and Bryant. Doing whatever it takes to keep you and your home comfortable. The Fan.
The perfect show for quarter zips and khaki shorts. You're listening to Bishop and Friends.
A little bit of breaking news in the world today. Ted Turner, the media mogul, billionaire who launched CNN and quite honestly lived one of the more interesting lives you could live. Philanthropist, conservationist, all sorts of thing. He has died. He was 87 years of age. He was somebody that certainly I was always familiar with as a kid, just from the standpoint of him rooting for the Braves on Turner and when they made those runs in the 90s to the World Series and married to Jane Fonda. But then also because at one point he was the largest landowner in Montana. I don't know if he still was at the time of his passing, but for a long time, he was the largest single landowner in Montana. And I think he may have been the largest landowner in the country at one point.
An Ohioan as well, Bo.
Really?
Native Ohioan? Cincinnati.
I'll be damned. I didn't know that part.
Moved to Georgia when he was 9.
I'll be danged. Time for a little thing or not a thing. Hit it, fellas.
Thing or not a thing.
Sponsored by Billiards Plus. Find your next grill and everything you need for the master griller. Billiards Plus on Dublin Center Drive in Dublin.
So this was before the Cavs fell in Detroit 111-101 last night in game one of their Eastern Conference semifinal series. But speaking with 92.3 The Fan in Cleveland Tuesday, former Cavalier Channing Frye gave his thoughts on what the franchise should do with James Harden after this playoff run.
I would say either the NBA Finals or Game 7 of the Eastern Conference Finals. I mean, that's really, and it has to just be like, this dude got out, like Jalen Brunson or Cat, like, went crazy. And I would run it back with James Harden next year and one more year. But if not, we really got to reassess the vision and we got to address, is it time to color? Are we coloring in oil paints or watercolors? And maybe we just need to go back and get a new canvas and work with that. You know, I mean, it happened. It happened.
Thing or not a thing.
What in the blue hell did he say? What did that mean at the end?
Yeah, it was a bad analogy with the canvas and the oil painting and the
oil and the watercolor. Yeah. I don't understand what he's talking about there. He goes, you know what I mean? No, I don't.
Sure don't, Channing.
I don't know. I don't know what you mean at all. I think I've seen enough. You know, but the question is, so he has a player option. So what are you going to, can they trade him? Can they even do that? Because he's going to opt in for 42.3. No one's giving him that on the open market as a 36-year-old player. And they're not going to win a championship this year. I don't think that they're going to get the Eastern Conference Final. And to me, it's a bad fit just in terms of what that roster is. So, yeah, to me, it feels like you blew it, boy. And I remember thinking even when they did, they sold on Garland so low because of all the injuries and all of that stuff. Like if they had sold Garland, if they traded him a year before, then I think the give back is so much more significant. And a lot of credit to that ownership and the front office and the spending and all the things that they've done. And I don't think you're entitled to a championship. They've thrown everything at the wall that they can on this thing. This to me feels though like I don't understand what the ceiling is. There's no championship coming with James Harden.
So I always thought the Harden trade was weird, and I understand you wanted to shake things up because Garland was hurt a lot, and it didn't seem like you were getting anywhere with Garland and Mitchell. But it was just always a weird fit to me. And, Bo, we talked earlier in the program how you didn't like watching Harden last night. You hated that you had to root for him. And I feel like he's kind of like a poster child, for a lack of a better word, for what's wrong with the NBA now. Like, his game just epitomizes everything that I dislike about the league. I would guess you could trade him. I would guess somehow, some way, there's a deal out there. Maybe you just eat it for next year. And because I believe, Reese, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, part of this Garland deal was to free up some cap space flexibility here for this team moving forward so they could add pieces in the coming season. So maybe it's something you just have to deal with for another year. Because I'm guessing no matter what you trade, like, you're going to be eating some money or you're going to be taking a bad contract back as well.
I think you do what you can to trade. And you figure this. Outside of what Channing said, Channing's right with the Game 7 or NBA Finals. So Game 7 of the Eastern Conference Finals or the NBA Finals, everything else, I think you try to do what you can to trade him. Because it's just not going to work. And it doesn't matter. If you've got Harden on this roster with Donovan Mitchell, it almost doesn't matter who else you add. And it not a whole lot of cap flexibility, but the $240 million roster tells you your owner's going to spend.
Yeah, oh yeah.
But it cannot be these two pieces, and you can't just run that back.
So Harden he doesn't have a formal no trade, but he kind of does. So the contract that he signed with the Clippers included a player option, which we discussed, and a one-year bird restriction, which required him to waive his rights to veto a trade. So he waived his rights to veto a trade to be dealt to the Cavaliers in February. I wonder if that means that he can't waive it again, or does he still have that power over the contract?
I think it means he's exercised he's waived it away. Like, the Cavs can trade him.
Okay.
Who's taking the contract? That's a conversation. On the New Heights podcast with the Kelce brothers, LeBron James revealed he had turned down a serious offer from Reebok while still a senior in high school.
They flew me in. I'm going back to St. Vincent St. Mary the next day, my senior year. And
The guy slides over a check to me at the end of the table. It's me and my mom and Maverick Carter at the end of the table. And he says, if you don't go talk to any other companies, this is yours. And I look at it, $10 million.
Oh!
$10 million.
Just right there as an 18-year-old, I was still stealing change out of my dad's piggy bank.
I was a high school senior, man. They gave me a check for $10 million, and if I promised not to go see anybody else, I told them I need a break. They stepped out, and my mom looked at me. She said, son, trust your gut. If they're offering you this, then who knows what the other companies may offer you. So they came back in. Boop. I said, thank you. I will definitely like to continue our conversation, but I would be remiss if I did not take those other pitches from the other companies. I may have cried on the way home.
Thing or not a thing.
I've heard him tell a version of that story before. It's a massive thing. I think the more and more that you allow yourself to think about it, it is stunning that he turned out as well as he has. I think it's incredibly admirable that, like, as a 17-year-old, he's got Maverick Carter at the table, and then Maverick Carter's been with him. Whatever you think of him, he's been with him the whole way. Like, these are his dudes. He brought them all up, lifted them all up, and had an incredible career. With the only mistake he kind of made was leaving his hometown team and kind of embarrassed them. That's it. It's crazy that he somehow turned out as well as he did. It's truly is.
It's amazing that an 18-year-old kid, and I'm sure Maverick Carter was there helping out with this, but an 18-year-old kid could see $10 million on a check in front of him and have the foresight, intelligence, business smarts, whatever it was, to say, no, I've got to check out what these other companies have to say. And guess what? He would have come back to Reebok and they still would have had $10 million if the other companies wouldn't have had as much. But it's just very impressive that he was able to do that at such a young age. And it's crazy, Bo, that LeBron, and you can say whatever you want about him, whether you like him, dislike him, his beliefs, what he does with load management. The dude's never been in trouble with the law that we know of. Never any scandal in his marriage that we know of. It seems like he's been a good dad to his kids. He's done everything off of the court in that sense of the word correctly. And it's so similar because you mentioned how it could have went the other way. Him and Maurice Claret had pretty similar paths until a point where one league said he could come in and the other league said he couldn't. And we know where it went with Maurice. And now Maurice seems to be doing better now and on a better path. But LeBron could have easily went down that path or worse.
100%. And by the way, like you mentioned there, Bake, like, well, he had Maverick Carter with him. Maverick's only 3 years older. So if LeBron was 17, Mav was 20. Like, he's 20 sitting at that table. Knowing that, I mean, just absolutely stupefying. It is a hey guys first Friday edition. Still time to get your questions in. You can do so at 971 BFS, also in the YouTube chat. We will answer those coming up next in the final hour. Bishop and Friends right here on the Fan.
Just when you thought afternoons couldn't get any dumber,
you fellas been doing a bit of boozing, have you?
Common Man and Timmy,
weekdays from 3 to 6,
your home for dumb. The Fan.
Hey, what's up? It's Timo.
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Live from the McDaniel GM Superstore Studios, driving excellence since 1916. Chevrolet. Together, let's drive. WBNS HD1 Columbus.
Good morning, I'm Eric Reeser. Both major league teams in the Buckeye State are slumping on the road this week. The Reds dropped their fifth straight last night in a 10-inning, 3-2 loss to the Cubs at Wrigley Field. Both teams are back at the friendly confines tonight at 7:40. Chicago leads the NL Central, 2.5 games over St. Louis, 4 games over the Reds. As for the Guardians, Cleveland dropped their third straight, a 5-3 loss to the Royals last night in KC. Both teams are back at Kauffman Stadium Wednesday at 7:40. Cleveland and Detroit share the lead atop the AL Central, despite each being a game under 500. In the NHL last night, the Maple Leafs Leafs won the draft lottery. Toronto's got the number one pick in June's draft. The Jackets will pick at 14 for the second year in a row. And in other news, television pioneer Ted Turner passed away this morning at the age of 87. Turner is credited with creating TBS, TNT, and the 24-hour cable network CNN. This update is sponsored by the Waterworks and Header Plumbing, Drain, Heating, and Cooling, together to serve you better. Scheduled today at thewaterworks.net.
Best facial hair on the air. This is Bishop and Friends.
Reese mentioned that in the update there. We'll get to Hey Guys in just a second, but the passing of Ted Turner, I was unaware that he was a native Ohioan of Cincinnati before moving to Georgia. Certainly, at one point, I'm pretty sure he was one of the largest private landowners in the United States, and at one point he had more land in Montana than anybody did, and that was something that always rang with me. Go ahead, Bick.
So, Bo, he was the largest landowner in the U.S. until 2011 when John C. Malone surpassed him.
Okay, yeah. I mean, he had massive estates everywhere. Anytime a big ranch in Montana would come up, he would buy it, and then he would put bison on it. And guess what? He had a bunch of bison. They reproduced, so what did he have to do? Ted's Montana Grill. And we're slinging bison burgers, so that's how it worked. There's one other part of this, component to this from the sports thing that's really, really important if you are of a certain age, and that is Ted Turner, founder of CNN, TNT, TBS. Ted Turner put the Atlanta Braves on TBS. And in doing so, he kind of made the Atlanta Braves America's team for a while because you could watch them. There were two baseball teams I could watch as a kid, Chicago Cubs and the Atlanta Braves. I could watch most of those games. We didn't have cable. I went to go to my aunt's, my grandma's. And they had cable, and those two teams were on. The amount of cousins of mine who were Braves fans, because they were on television, you could watch them. It was a massive, way ahead of his time decision to do that, to understand that sports was first of all, he owned them, so it was free in that sense, but that it would also lift up the cable property. It's an incredible job of what he did. And WGN did the same thing with the Cubs, obviously. And I believe the Wrigley family owned the Cubs at that time. So I'm sure all those things kind of lined up. But like, those are the two teams you could watch.
He won a World Series championship as an owner of the Braves. And then for someone our age, Bo, I mean, he was the guy that started the Monday Night Wars and put Vince McMahon on his heels.
So I didn't know all of that stuff. I know that now, but in the moment, I didn't realize all of that with the Monday Night Wars with WCW that he did all of that. Really incredible life. Just an incredible life. Did the America's Cup? 87 years, had just this incredibly wild life. Like, you know, what's the DiCaprio movie about Howard Hughes? The Aviator, like there's one of those that's dying to be made about Ted Turner's life because it's got a lot of that stuff in it. Just fascinating stuff. A titan in this country, obviously. All right, time for a little Hey Guys on a first Friday. Hit it.
Nothing is off limits. Your participation is required. Just use the hashtag Hey Guys and ask anything you want. Do it now.
Sponsored by High Bank Distillery Co. Great food, award-winning drinks, and something for everyone in the family. Dine, drink, distill at High Bank.
All right, we had a ton on YouTube. I can still read those as they're coming in, but we'll start on Twitter. Okay. Ben asks, hey guys, if you had a Kentucky Derby horse, what would you name it?
So I'll go Nightcap. Somebody, a buddy of mine who's in the Navy said, if you could have a call sign, what would it be? And I said Nightcap. So I think I'll go that way. Nightcap is my Kentucky Derby horse name.
Bo, correct me if I'm wrong. You can never have the same name twice, right? Like, no horse can have the same name as another.
You have to register it. Yeah, it's kind of like the Screen Actors Guild. Like, it has to be registered, and it has to be, something that hasn't been previously done.
So, the greatest horse name I've ever heard, ever, and it's a brewery now, is Hoof-Hearted. Hoof-Hearted is the greatest horse racing call I've ever heard in my life. I think I would go something to like an homage to one of my favorite movies ever, like maybe van down by the river, or shut your mouth when you're talking to me, or
the painting was a gift.
The painting was a gift. That'd be a great one right there. So
the painting was a gift down the home stretch.
Yeah, but hoof hearted is the greatest horse racing call I've ever heard.
That's pretty good.
I'd do a wrestler's name like John Cena or Stone Cold Steve Austin.
There you go.
Just to have the announcer say that. Here comes Stone Cold Steve Austin down the stretch. Or here comes John Cena down the stretch. I'm like, wait a minute, you can't see him.
What about you can't see me? There you go. That's a good name.
Mr. Leaper asks in the YouTube chat, hey guys, are you one of those that is terrified of cruises because of a few bad stories? Or are you a rational person who likes to sit and drink on them?
So I will tell you this candidly. I was the former until I went on the Buckeye cruise. And my wife isn't necessarily a cruise type person because I think she didn't have a great experience as a kid on one. But then I went on the Buckeye cruise and I'm like, this is great. This is awesome. Like the whole setup was incredible and could have just been the way that Travel Partners handles anything. I don't know. But I've looked at like those Royal Caribbean ads or that super tanker thing they got with 66 water slides at the back end and all of this. And it's funny, like Beamsy's my cautious one. He's like, no. No chance. Like, he's worried that it's going to be Titanic. I'm like, buddy, even if something went wrong, you're going to get lifeboats. Like, we're going to be fine, even if something went wrong. But no, I'm definitely the former now. I'd like to do one as a family. I think it would be fun to do one as a family. I've only been on the one, though. It was just the Buckeye Cruise, the only one I've ever been on.
So I have not been on one either, ever, but I would love to. So none of that scares me. I'm not worried about any of that. In fact, one thing I will do before my life is over, hopefully, is go on an Alaskan cruise. I would love to do an Alaskan cruise. I think that would be awesome.
Yeah, there's some really cool European ones, too, that they do like through Scandinavian stuff. Mm-hmm. My wife's parents just did one from New Zealand to Australia that they raved about, that they said was just awesome.
There's some website out there, and I can't remember the name of it right now, that like... You can get cruises for super cheap, but you got to be ready to go next week. Like, yeah, it's right. Tickets that they haven't been able to sell. So you could get them for ridiculous prices, but you got to be like go at a moment's notice.
Like how Priceline used to be with hotels, right? Where you could stay at like a 4-star place for $60 because in those days they used to want to, that money was better than no money.
Mm-hmm.
Now their whole attitude is like, if we don't have to sell it, we don't have to clean it.
I'm not doing a cruise. Not put me on a boat. Maybe really? maybe a Viking cruise.
Yeah, those are those European ones I'm talking about where they go down the rivers.
Yeah.
Race.
Yeah. That's about it, though. Real quick, Cardinal asks, hey, guys, since Monday was Star Wars Day, what are your three favorite film franchises? He says his are Godfather, Star Wars, and Indiana Jones.
Holy smokes. Indy, for sure, but... God, it's hard because the hit rate on Indy's not great.
Well, it falls, it trails off a little bit, yeah.
And I like Temple of Doom just fine. I liked it as a kid. Maybe it would be shocking in the moment, like because that was the one, isn't that the one that they developed the PG-13 for? PG-13.
For that film, I think, yeah.
Yeah, I think it like didn't exist and they rated it PG and they're like, well, actually, this is not at all appropriate for kids. They, you know, my guy pulls a heart out of a living being. Indy would be way up there for me. I mean, the hit rate, like the first and third Die Hard are awesome. I love both of those. This franchise is not even talked about enough. You hardly hear it about it anymore, but like the first couple Lethal Weapons are awesome. The first two Beverly Hills Cops are awesome. Godfather's a no-brainer, and I don't even hate 3 the way people do. I think 3's fine, and I love all the Michael Corleone stuff in that. Andy Garcia is incredible in that one as well. I would go, how many do you want? Do you want 3?
Yeah.
So Indiana Jones would be one for me. I'll go Indiana Jones, Die Hard, and I'm going to go the Christopher Nolan Batman trilogy.
So I'll go a little different approach here, Bo. Just some that you... didn't mention the James Bond series, and I haven't seen all of those, but the James Bonds are pretty good.
They are.
if I can cut it off after two, give me Home Alone 1 and 2. And I'm all in because those were great. And probably just growing up in the time that I did, like, the American Pies, they were stupid, but they were entertaining to me. I know a lot of people hate those movies, but those were entertaining.
But the first two are great. They're both great. The Mission Impossible, the Tom Cruise Mission Impossible doesn't have many misses.
Yeah, maybe not the many. Second or the third one is the only one that's forgettable. I think it's Mission Impossible 2.
Knowing, is that the one in Australia?
I think so.
Knowing Tom Cruise is 5'6", I can't do him as a superhero. Like, I'm sorry, I'm out.
Well, what? How about the fact that he's actually doing it?
I know, that's good, like, but I can't. It's
but he's actually short, him. So he's out.
It's just unbelievable to me.
Tight discrimination. Tightism
out of you. I didn't have
tight
that.
Tight discrimination. It's not a good look for you, Baker.
Sorry, Reese.
Also, I don't know if we've mentioned The Lord of the Rings.
Oh, jeez. Yeah, those all crush.
You're going to need 2 days to watch them all, but they're fun.
I wish that there was a Lord of the Rings that was shorter that I could rewatch. Because, like, the boys haven't seen any of those. And, like, the idea of them sitting down for 3.5 hours, there's no chance that that's ever going to be the case. I think the most enjoyable, now that I've seen, and I've seen them all, but, like, if I just zip through all the Frodo stuff, then it goes relatively quickly. We'll continue with the Hey Guys coming up next. Bishop and Friends right here on The Fan.
We have so many local shows, I can't fit them in a 10-second promo. So let's just say we're live and local all damn day. The Fan.
Hey there, friends. It's Bo.
Atlas Butler has convenient 2-hour service windows for heating, cooling, and plumbing service. Because nobody likes waiting around. You listen in, BMB? Nobody likes waiting around.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Nice. In or out on dating somebody taller than you?
My ego wouldn't be bruised walking into places and people saying your girlfriend's so much taller than you. I don't care.
Rothman and Ice. Weekdays at noon.
Sponsored by Pella Columbus.
The Fan.
Feeling stressed.
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Fan weather.
From the Logan AC and Heat Services Weather Center.
Cloudy skies eventually become mostly sunny throughout the day, with our temperatures getting up into the upper 50s to low 60s, and then for tonight, becoming mostly clear overnight with our lows into the upper 30s to low 40s. For Thursday, we will see clouds increase, but overall a pretty lovely day with temperatures in the upper 50s to low 60s. For The Fan, I'm meteorologist Meredith Garfalo with the 10 weather impact forecast.
If the sound of another man slammed against plexiglass turns you on, you've come to the right place. Proud to be your home for Jackets hockey. The Fan, Ohio sports destination. The friends are the guests and listeners. Reeser and Baker just work here.
Back to work. Back to work. Everybody. Work, 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 work. Work, work.
You're listening to Bishop and Friends.
All right, the Hey Guys continues. Go ahead there, Reese.
All right, we'll stay on the YouTube chat. Someone else threw up, actually, that I'm looking back for the top three movie franchises that we kind of missed on. Sage here, Back to the Future. Where are we on that as a top movie trilogy?
It's really great. I've seen two the least. I've seen one the most, three I've seen a lot. I've seen two the least. I don't remember particularly enjoying it, but I wonder if on a rewatch it would hold up pretty well with all the Biff stuff.
We did this recently, and the consensus was 1-3-2. 1 and 3, great. 2, forgettable.
Yeah. When's the last time you've seen those?
So we did it last year.
Long, long time.
You guys watched it, Reese, last year? Yeah.
I don't even know if I've seen 3. Definitely, I've seen the first two, but I don't think I've seen 3.
3's fun. 3's really good. The Wild West, it's fun.
What about The Hangovers?
I know 1 and 2. I mean, 1. So that's kind of different, right? Because it's a little bit semantics, but, like, did they intend for The Hangover to be a series, or it was a hit, and so they tried to make it?
That's
one,
what,
right?
I think. Yeah.
So it's like, is there something else we can mine from this? The first one is chef's kiss. The second one, it was like, hey, let's just run this exact same thing back and do it to the 12th degree with shocking stuff. I think they're both entertaining, though. I could not tell you what happens in 3 at all.
I feel like 3 is better than 2.
They get really drunk and are hungover.
Run it back. The funniest thing to me about the first one is, if you do a shot or take a drink every time Bradley Cooper says, why don't we just calm down? None of the situations that they're in would anybody say calm down. None of them. And he just keeps saying, would you just calm down? Like, no one would ever be that cool in the circumstances that they're under.
So Donnie asks on Twitter, well, he prefaces, says, I'm flying next week and hate flying. He says he wants people to be as miserable as he is. What movie should I watch so everyone's uncomfortable?
First of all, bad job out of you, Donnie. Like, we appreciate your loyalty to the listening ship, but why do you want everyone to be miserable? Honestly, the most uncomfortable thing, I mean, probably like Game of Thrones would make people very uncomfortable.
Yeah, I was thinking if you had access to that.
Because that's got violence and adult content. I think that would, to me, that's the only thing that I've seen in entertainment that I think you should have to have a certain level of brain development to be able to watch and not be wrecked for life. There's just too much disturbing stuff in that. So I think it would probably be that. I can't think of a movie. I mean, anything with a bunch of nudity would make everybody uncomfortable. Like, that's just incredibly inconsiderate to do any of that on a plane. And I feel the same way about the violent stuff, too, especially if there's, like, younger people around. Like, who wants to watch, like, some bloodbath violent stuff? But, like, a Tarantino movie, some of those. Like, you throw Pulp Fiction on, that's an attention getter. Inglourious Bastards, even. Gosh, Django. All of those would make me uncomfortable.
I wonder if Inglourious Bastards, people would just be watching it because they enjoy the movie. Maybe similar with some of the Tarantino stuff, you'd get people like peeking over just to watch it with you.
Maybe, but like Django, it doesn't have that. I mean, Django's got some, there's a lot to going on there.
Especially if you have the speakers on.
Oh, geez.
You're not using the headphones.
I was kind of thinking like, was it Four Brothers? There's a lot of violence and killing in that movie. A lot of shooting up. I don't understand why you would want to make everyone else uncomfortable.
Yeah, don't do that, Donnie. We live in a society, Donnie.
And two, how many people are going to be paying attention to what you're doing? You're going to have earbuds in, so they're not going to hear it. People are doing their own thing already on a plane. It's not like everyone's Beau's dad just sitting there. So everybody's doing their own thing nowadays on the plane anyway. So nobody's paying attention to what you're watching.
So, Dad, you just sit there? Yeah, I just sit there. Really? For 3.5 hours, you just sit there and look forward? You don't sleep? Nothing? I can't sleep on a plane. Okay. All right.
Chris asks in the YouTube chat, hey, guys, if you could attend any fictional sporting event, what would it be? His example is he'd watch Anakin Skywalker go pod racing.
Fictional sporting event.
We'll have the button ready later in this segment, but Chimdi Chekwa's burner had he had Quidditch match.
Is that
Harry Potter? On the brooms, chasing around the snitch.
The boys and I were going through some metro park, and they were having like a Ren Fair thing, and I looked over and saw this taking place, and the folks were like really into this. And I'd never seen it before. I'm like, what is this? This is crazy. And they were pretty jacked up about it. Fictional sporting event. I'll tell you what, you could do a whole lot worse than seeing Cole Trickle win the Daytona 500.
That's pretty good.
In Rowdy Barnes's car, Russ Wheeler trying to hold him off on the last race. You could do a lot worse.
I mean, I think a fictional sporting event, I think I'm just going to go to WrestleMania. Right? I mean, that's not a totally real sporting event, but I would say let's go back to the movie Basketball and let's just be part of that.
That'd be fun.
With the invention of that game and those guys, let's just be part of Basketball.
You say that wrestling's fake or wrestling's scripted, but here they are on ESPN covering it like it's a real damn sport.
With Stephen A. Smith.
Isn't that crazy? That's everything Vince wanted. Was that
like this is covered as legitimately, maybe even more so than the NHL, than the NBA?
Do you think that they made a mistake in acknowledging the script portion of it? Because Threes would tell those stories about how his dad would get on a plane in full outfits, like full makeup. He'd ride a plane. And like they would, in the old days, like they would not break character. They wouldn't.
I think they had to because of the internet. Everybody
But do you
knew.
Think that they do it too much?
Maybe too much, but...
Yeah. Because there's still some wonderment. I remember a couple years ago when the boys were into WrestleMania, like they were still, and so NBC would have been 12, so it would have been 12, 10, 8. Like they were still all in that it was totally, everything was real. And it is real in the sense of you are making, a human being is falling from 20 feet and landing on their back. Like all of that stuff is very real, and the pain that's with that is also very, very real.
We got an interesting, we got a two-parter from Jay. Hey guys, with talk around Jeremiah Smith's Lamborghini, do you think NIL will make guys more financially responsible before getting into the league, or will they blow their money in college? Then he asks, what would you spend your first NIL check on?
Oh, I definitely would have got a car if I was 18, 19. Sweet pad and a car would have been the first things that I would have done. Do I think they'll be more financially responsible? I don't know. Maybe if they have good people around them who can lead them in the right direction. But at the same time, who is responsible at that time? I remember the first day that I went to the registrar for classes my freshman year, and there was an American Express credit card company standing there, and there was a MasterCard credit card company standing there. And they said, sign up for a credit card, and we'll give you a $100 credit for your first statement credit. And guess what? I signed up for both of them. And guess what? I ran them both up about as big as possible. Then I was like, oh, I got to pay all this back. Oh, and then what's this? There's 27% interest on the statement balance if I don't pay it off? Oh, my God. This is going to be a problem. It's going to be a real problem. All of a sudden, that $450 Gap leather coat wasn't quite worth it.
Predatory lending at its finest right there.
Oh, God. Dude, it was in the line. We were in line to register for the class, my freshman year. Two credit card companies there. Yeah, I'll take them both. I need both cards. Idiot.
I think the NIL is going to... It'll probably be about the same as it always has been, in the fact that if you are going to be responsible or had the right people around you,
yeah,
you're going to be okay. If you weren't, you weren't. And I think there's going to be a lot of people that end up with nothing out of this. They just blow it all and they weren't smart with it. I think, I would hope, I'm trying to think of 18-year-old me, I would hope that I would have bought a nice house and hopefully bought my parents one. And then maybe bought myself a truck and gone on vacation. Those would have been my NIL things, I hope.
Yeah, but I don't think any of us at that age are thinking. And in fact, I think kids are probably even smarter now. Like, even my kids, like, NBC's been investing for like 2 or 3 years now. Like, he's got his own little investment portfolio that he's been doing.
Stealing
like,
everybody's baseball cards.
He was. I didn't do any of that stuff. I wasn't doing, I mean, if I had money, it was gone.
Same.
In those days.
I'd like to hope that if in the scenario you played out that I'm actually good at athletics and Ohio State wants to give me money to play for them, or companies want to give me money to represent Ohio State, I'm doing real estate shopping in Upper Arlington and in Grandview.
just
a couple properties.
They can't expand, as you know, Reese, they can't expand those community lines.
There aren't too many more of them, right? No.
Those are all finite. All right, good stuff. Coming up next, Kevin Clark with an idea about college football, and the NHL had a bit of an issue last night, or maybe they didn't. We'll get to all of that in 2 minutes. Bishop and Friends right here on the
Atlas Butler has convenient 2-hour service windows for heating, cooling, and plumbing service, because nobody likes waiting around. You listen in, BMB? Nobody likes waiting around.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Bishop and Friends is sponsored by Diamond Cellar, your true jeweler for almost 80 years. The Fan, Ohio's sports destination.
When General Sherman marched through Georgia, he was listening to this show.
Use your skills for good, young warrior.
This is Bishop and Friends.
I had two texts last night from two different hockey fans. Who? One was, what a joke. And the other one was, it's rigged. And so what was rigged and what this was about, and I didn't even realize this was last night, I guess because we had almost a no shot of benefiting from it, but the NHL draft lottery was last night, and the Toronto Maple Leafs, fresh off of a very awkward introductory press conference for the general manager, which we talked about and played yesterday, won the number one pick in the draft. With an 8.5% chance of winning, they got the number one pick in the draft. Now, what was the best, who had the best odds and what were those odds?
So I believe it was the Vancouver Canucks that had the best odds, and it was like 23.2 or 23.5.
Okay. So they were the fifth, as I understand it, the fifth best odds to win it. They've only done it twice before. Both were pretty good hits. Wendell Clark and Austin Matthews in 2016. Can't believe it's been 10 years for Austin Matthews, by the way.
So, Bo, it was Vancouver. It was 18.5. Then the Blackhawks, 13.5. The Rangers, 11.5. The Flames, 9.5. And then Toronto at 8.5.
So the one that I think, and what are, to me, that doesn't feel rigged to me. Like, you know, I mean, that's not that crazy of a thing to go all the way up to there. It's the Penn State kid that everybody is talking about as the number one overall. The one that to me is a big problem for the NHL, and the one that I'm envious of, is the Sharks picking second. So they landed Celebrini, who is a stud, in 2024 with the number one overall pick. And now you're talking about top two picks for three straight drafts. I have no idea how good Michael Misa was last year for them. They drafted him second overall, and now they get another one. That is, if they hit on this one, now all of a sudden you start to feel like you're the Pittsburgh Penguins or you're the Blackhawks with Taze and Kane.
Yeah, exactly. And they already had Will Smith, who was drafted right behind Adam Fantilli, and William Eklund as well. So they've got a good young core that just missed out on the playoffs this year. As is, if they get a guy that hits, and I believe there's a kid from Sweden.
There is.
That is the kind of neck and neck there with Gavin McKenna. So if they get one of those two, looking pretty good.
The Sharks had 86 points, and they're picking second? Like, forget about Toronto. Toronto was terrible. San Jose is going to be a straight-up buzzsaw.
Well, and I think what people were saying is there's a lot of, is Austin Matthews, and he's got 2 years remaining on his contract, but there's a lot of, is Austin Matthews going to force his way out here? So they're like, well, he's going to force his way out. They give him the number one pick. They'll have their replacement.
If you're them, don't you do that?
Yeah, I would. Because you haven't won with this core. You already got rid of Marner.
Yeah.
It might be time for a rebuild.
Yes.
Is this the guy to do it, though, now?
Well, I don't even know what a package.
What's the return for Austin Matthews? Like, good Lord.
I was just thinking that, Reese. Like, if him and McDavid become available in the next 2 years?
Somebody asked me this, or we had this discussion not long ago. Like, if Toronto called Columbus, what would the ask be? And I'm guessing, and Blue Jackets fans would be like, oh, heck no.
Starts with Fantilli.
I'm guessing it's Fantilli and Werenski. That's their ask, right?
And probably yeah, 14. Sure, and probably. If you want to do this before the draft...
And Blue Jackets fans are probably like, oh my God, you're crazy. What has Austin Matthews ever done? Well, he is a 60-goal scorer.
Yeah.
You've never had that.
The crazy thing, though, is, and this is the kind of apples for apples for this, is do you guys remember when Carmelo Anthony was trying to leave Denver and force his way out of Denver? And they had a nice team. But he forced his way out of Denver. He wanted to go to New York. And he forced a trade instead of just waiting for free agency another year. Had he waited in free agency, he could have played with all of that core that was in New York, which is kind of a decent little team. Instead, he forced the Knicks to trade all of these players who he would have played with on New York to acquire him. And that's the thing. If you trade Matthews, who could you trade him to that it wouldn't gut their roster once he gets there? Like, quite honestly, like, you might call San Jose and say number two overall and somebody else and another pick. And now all of a sudden, if you're San Jose, you got Celebrini and you got Matthews, and now you go. Like, is almost any, if you're trading for players, you're gutting operations.
Yeah, it would have to be somebody that has a huge stockpile of young talent, and San Jose would be the first one that comes to mind. Maybe Anaheim, but does Anaheim want to break up what they've got right now?
No, Anaheim's sitting pretty right now.
Yeah, and they're not trading. You'd want Carlson, and you're not going to get that. Yeah. So, but no, if I'm the Leafs, I would probably call San Jose and said, can I interest you in Austin Matthews? I'm sure Matthews would love to play for San Jose.
Well, and he's an Arizona kid, grew up in Arizona, so right. He'd be closer to home.
Yeah. I mean, you can imagine going from playing in that media market where you have beat writers saying the hockey world is calling this a sham while the guy's sitting there, that type of scrutiny, to going to San Jose, where I can't imagine there's any scrutiny. Sure, there's beat guys who do a good job, but just in terms of like day to day, who in the Bay Area is holding them to their feet to a fire on stuff?
Who in the Bay Area knows they exist?
Depending on where you are, it's a good point.
Relative to the Warriors aren't playing, so who else is doing a thing?
Yeah, I mean, I think if you're Matthews, that's a pretty good lifestyle switch. From there to there. That if I'm them, that's what I'd do. I'd make that call. If you're going to trade him, call San Jose and say, we want number two overall. Now you're picking at number one and number two. You get me one of the young pieces, and now we're in business.
Maybe another team that might be in this, and I don't know if they have enough to give, but maybe the Vancouver Canucks would be looking for a total reset, and they could give them the number four pick. They could give them Elias Pettersson, maybe a couple other pieces with him. But again, the San Jose one would be the one Toronto would want, I would think.
Yeah, and then I start to think of like the teams at the top who are just loaded that, you know, could give youth pieces back. You know, is that, you know, like Vegas feels like they always have pieces. I mean, Colorado's going to win a cup without him. They don't need to screw around with it. You also have to find like who's close or feels like he'd put them over the top. And then I'm sure he has a no trade. Like, would he want to play in Detroit?
It's interesting.
I mean, he'd want to play for like the Rangers, I'm sure.
I guess
probably everybody's choice is Vegas and the Kings, is everybody's, right? Those two things. He's never done any, but there's never been any conversation of that around him, has there? Like from his camp?
I think he was asked about his future here at the end of the year, and he was very noncommittal and like, you never know what's going to happen. We'll see type thing.
When it's not your team involved, it is fun for the league when you have big trades like this. Like if Giannis would have forced his hand, now he didn't want to, because I think he really loves Milwaukee, won a championship there. He doesn't want to, you know, spoil that or leave a bad taste in the mouth for the fans up there and for him and everybody. But if he would have forced his hand, it was there to be forced at the deadline. And if Giannis is on one of these teams now, or if he moves this summer, I mean, that's all interesting stuff. It's not when your team's involved. It sucks when your team's involved. But there's interesting stuff there. And the idea that sport, and you could make a decent argument, certainly one of the faces of the league is McDavid. Matthews is probably on a short list, wouldn't you say? Top five or six faces of the league. Those two guys, both of them playing in Canadian markets. Both of them have been there for a long time. Both of them have been extended there in those markets. Both of them have lived up to every bit of hype you could ever live up to in those situations. Neither one has won a cup. Matthews hasn't even gotten close with the Toronto teams. Jody was always skeptical of them just because of the defense and goalie. That was always the problem there, that they just weren't built for like playoff success.
And that's been the problem true with of Edmonton. Both. Yeah. Yeah, with both of them, it's been defense and goalie.
Yeah. But the idea that both those guys could get moved in the next couple of years is pretty staggering to wrap your head around. It is a First Friday. Get your officially endorsed and three things coming up next. Bishop and Friends right here on The Fan.
We're the girthiest radio station in the history of radio. Uncomfortably girthy. This promo is uncomfortable. The Fan, Ohio's girth destination.
For the ones who...
Atlas Butler has convenient two-hour service windows for heating, cooling, and plumbing service. Because nobody likes waiting around. You listening, BMB? Nobody likes waiting around.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Oh, your your favorite fan shows are on YouTube.
Along with those fake YouTube ads like Chew This Gum and It Grows New Teeth.
Experience the splendor of Bo sitting in his closet, Timmy Hall's gaudy gold chains, and Matty Ice wearing a coat in 90-degree weather. It's all there. Head to YouTube and subscribe today.
Hey, everybody, it's Berm here.
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
The Fan Poll is sponsored by JT's Pizza and Pub, home of award-winning pizza and $2 tall boys. All day, every day.
Reese's mustache is so nice, it has its own area code.
You're listening to Bishop and Friends.
Hi, Reese, what do I have on the poll today?
Daily Fan Poll is sponsored by JT's Pizza and Pub. It asks, would you be okay with Ohio State leaving the Big Ten if it resulted in less noon kickoffs? 64% say no.
That's a tricky one. It depends on, I mean, what are your options?
You know? I'm okay with noon kicks, just back-to-back-to-back-to-back-to-back big noon kicks stink.
Yeah, it's the problem is that it's not, no one has a problem with playing the Michigan game at noon or playing a lot of the games at noon. The problem is you can't ever have a big game on campus any time slot other than noon. That's the beef. That's what sucks. It's that every big game you're ever going to play is a noon kick. And the reality is night games are better from an atmosphere standpoint. Like the Texas game last year at night would have been electric. It was still good, but it would have been better at night. Just would be. And I think that's what folks are a little sick of.
I feel like this question might be a little better if it was, do you care? Are you okay if Ohio State left the Big Ten if it meant you got more money because you negotiated your TV rights and it was more than your share of the pie the Big Ten is giving you?
I think what's going to happen in 2030 is you're going to see, you know, like Ohio State got more than everybody else this year because they played more in the college football playoff. Like next year, that'll be Indiana who gets more than anybody else. But I think what's going to be really fascinating is if in 2030, the Big Ten goes to a serious weighted system in terms of who gets the most. And with that, is there a further expansion of the league? I think that's the next big thing that we're all kind of curious on is where all of that goes from here. It's a First Friday. Hit it, guys.
Bishop and Friends present First Friday.
Officially endorsed.
Because everyone deserves two Fridays.
You drink for the wrong reasons. My generation, we drink because it's good. Because it feels better than unbuttoning your collar. Because we deserve it. We drink because it's what men do.
In like the last 2 minutes of the school drop-off to the two bigs today, I was trying to explain to them First Friday. It's like, boys, happy First Friday. They're like, what are you talking about? It's Wednesday. And one of them goes, Wednesday sucks. And I'm like, I know. That's why it's First Friday. And then I was trying to explain it. And then it occurred to me that unless you were of an age where you can do whatever you want on a Friday, on a First Friday, it probably doesn't land the same. And I kind of ran out of time to explain it. So I'll try to do better tonight. But this one needs very little explanation. Yesterday was Cinco de Mayo. In honor of that, this is how I do a margarita. Okay. The key to this is the type of tequila that you get. So two that I really, really like for this are Gran Centenario Añejo or Gran Coromino Añejo. Gran Coromino is a little bit more of a high-end, a little bit pricier, but it gets a really true vanilla sweetness to it. And what that does is it eliminates your need for simple syrup. It eliminates your need for Cointreau. You really don't need any of those things at that point. So that gets that sugar out of there to a better extent than it would in a normal one. So let's go Gran Coromino on the rocks, heavy lime squeeze, salt around the rim, and go. That's all you need. That's when the kids say, not my kids, they're not asking for margaritas, but if my wife says, can you make me one? That's usually what I do for her. And if I have one at home, that's how I enjoy them. And then you don't get all the sugar that comes with it. You're not going to get hangovers with it. Big win across the board. Time for three things on a First Friday. Hit it, guys.
One, two.
Three things.
Sponsored by Newman Roofing. For all your roofing, gutter, or siding needs, call Newman Roofing today at 614-NEW-ROOF or visit online at newmanroofing.com.
Number one for me, so we get an email from the school principal yesterday about NBC, and the email says that he has been given two lunch detentions. The reason for the two lunch detentions is apparently he was standing in a circle with a bunch of his buddies who were playing hacky sack in the commons area, which apparently is a no-no. So I texted him. I said, well, did you do that? Did you know you weren't supposed to do this? Sort of. Okay. If you sort of knew, why did you? Well, I wasn't. I was kind of adjacent. Okay. Then the next thing becomes, well, like, that seems severe for that a little bit, unless they, you know, were being completely disruptive, which is in play that they were. And I don't have a problem with it, whatever. But then he has the stones to text me and go, are you coming to get me for lunch? No, I'm not. Enjoy your detention. I hope that it's spectacular. I'm not bailing you out of this, dude. Come on. I just texted back all of that, and then I just put sad.
Kind of. You were aware. 100% aware. I was not aware. The passing of Ted Turner this morning had me on his Wikipedia page that in 1977, he made his Atlanta Braves managerial debut.
Whoa.
They lost to the Pittsburgh Pirates, but this was because in May of that year, they were on a 16-game losing streak. So Turner sent then-manager Dave Bristol on a 10-day, quote, scouting trip and took over as interim manager. But the commissioner of baseball stepped in after that loss to the Pirates and said, you cannot be doing this. And Turner tried to appeal, but then the baseball commissioner who heard the appeal turned it down, citing Turner's lack of familiarity with game operations.
I'm telling you, dude, there's a Scorsese movie dying to be made about him. It's dying to be made.
The ESPN 30 for 30 documentary coming soon.
Oh, my gosh. What a life.
First thing for me, I'm driving around in the car yesterday and being a good fan employee, I'm listening to the fan and I hear Common Man and Timmy and they're playing some audio. And at the end of the audio, there was the next question in the audio. And they immediately...
Oops.
They immediately blamed me.
Ooh.
For this. And I'm like, well, even if I did this, you have no clue who did this. And I'm honestly not even sure if this wasn't a bit where they went back and cut their own audio and put it on there just to drive man nuts. But they immediately blame me. So I know that they have a segment on their show on Fridays called Go to Jail.
Yeah.
So I am nominating both of them to go to jail for false incrimination of myself.
Yeah, that probably would have been my fault.
Well, I'm not throwing anybody under the bus because I'm not so sure they didn't do it themselves. But
city jail, county jail, Lucasville. Where are you sending them?
I want the max.
Lucasville?
I want the max.
All right.
You're sending them to jail on their own segment?
Yeah.
Okie dokie.
Number two for me. So now that the boys are older, I'm like, all right, you guys got to pick what you want to get mom for Mother's Day. Like, if you need help, ideas, I can help, but I need you guys to pick it. Beamsy, God bless him. He picked out something he wanted to get his mom for Mother's Day, and then he texted it to her instead of me.
Poor guy.
He has no idea that he did it. My wife showed me, so we're just going to keep it a secret.
Good job out of you.
So he did it last night, and then he did it again this morning.
Oh.
Like, bud, what are we doing, pal?
Dang.
I'll make this my second thing in asking the question, is it always because when he makes those kinds of purchases or when he does anything in the purchasing realm, he gets approval first?
I think you have that well read.
That's
a pretty good understanding of how the operation here works.
That's, I guess, a habit you don't want to discourage.
Well, I do because I think she green lights everything is kind of what I think.
A fine line, I guess, needs to be walked there.
I'm going to go here for my second thing to make sure that we get this in. Robert Carpenter, the general, is returning to his old time slot. He is in for AR today with Matty Ice. They're going to have Sam Amico at 1:30, Brad Crawford at 2:30, who's busy. I think he's on Outkick right now. Then he's joining Rothman and Ice later today. So how about that? Bobby Carpenter returns to the noon to 3 time slot today.
Well, do you know what his original time slot was here on this fine station?
Is it 10 to noon?
Right, 10 to noon?
No. No, it was he and I. It was the off season with Bobby Carpenter. We did it, I think, once or twice a week from noon to 1.
And your wife still thinks noon to 1 for you?
Oh, she has no clue. Yeah, she's got no clue. Be a good listen, though. Enjoy your first Friday, kids. Act accordingly. Bishop and Friends right here on The Fan.
Bobby Carpenter demands that you watch Morning Juice on YouTube. If you don't, Tito will move into your house.
Live at 6 a.m. on YouTube and streaming on the...
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Spring is sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save